You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Son, we just crossed the street. Let's not throw a party till we're out of the city.
When you came in, the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
Hear me well. As of today, a new Dave is born. A Dave who, for lack of a better phrase, is pure evil.
Pure evil?
Pure evil.
Dave, can I borrow $5?
Sure, Joe, my wallet's in my desk. Just take it.
That was ill.
That really, oh yeah, that's what I meant to say. It was ill.
Yes, we are. It's Friday, everybody. We're back. Nowhere in Mulberry.
Woohoo!
We decided to do another show. Yes, welcome back, everybody. We're here. We took 2 weeks off. We're replenished, and we're ready to do the show again. Right, guys? Y'all guys all ready?
I've been off for 3 weeks.
Yeah, Steven, he missed that show. So, Bill, are
Much like 9/11, it's too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Too soon to come back?
Yeah. But I feel good.
I do, too.
Of course
too.
You feel good.
I'm ready to do the
show. 3 weeks.
Bill, I'm glad to have you back. I haven't spoken to you since the last time we did a show. Total lie. But let's see. It's November 14th. We took 2 weeks off. We had Halloween. I had my anniversary that went pretty well.
Birthday anniversary.
now we're back. We're going to do the show. All sorts of crazy stuff's happened. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. We hope you still decide to listen to our show. Oh, we had a presidential election. We elected a new president. That was really cool. Bill, you and I kind of talked about this over the break, is too many video games are being released. Like, even nobody could possibly play all these games.
It's playing havoc with my bank account.
Well, first of all, Gears of War 2 came out. Was it this week or last week?
Last week.
And
the 7th.
And then Left 4 Dead is coming out soon.
Yeah, Left 4 Dead is coming out on the 19th or the 17th.
I think
it's the 17th. Yeah, next Monday.
Now, Gears of War 2, was that pretty badass? I haven't played it yet.
Oh, God, it was so great. I mean, I could not stop playing it. I finished it in 2 days, you know, sat down with it twice and played through the entire campaign on hardcore. And it is hardcore this time around.
Hardcore.
Hardcore is almost what was the hardest one? Insane on the first game. It is really, really tough. But I got through it. Terrific story. Just everything is so much bigger. And from the moment the game starts, everything is just so much bigger.
They really outdid
themselves.
In the
first one, you encountered maybe a couple Reavers here and there. You know the one level in the first one where you have to fight the Corpser, the big spider?
Yeah, that was
That's
cool.
That's child's play compared to this.
Yeah, I love video games.
You fight stuff like 10 times the size of the Corpser.
Well, that's what I love about video games, when they have something so big it can't even fit on the screen. It's just like,
holy shit. The last boss is so big it can't fit on the screen.
Wow.
It's in fact, even in this, we got a little preview of the Brumax, those like Tyrannosaurus
Giant
Rex looking
crab.
Things with the big like rocket launchers on them and stuff in the first game. In this game, not only do you kill multiple ones, you ride one.
Do you have to find their weak point to kill them?
Pretty much their head, but you can attack it for massive damage.
That'll never get old, will it?
Giant enemy crab.
But I can't recommend Gears of War 2 enough. They just nailed it out of the park. The story is terrific. The voice acting is great. The week the game came out, the first book came out for Gears of War, written by Karen Travis.
The first sci-fi novel. Based on the property, yes.
Called Gears of War, Asfo Fields. It gets into the backstory of Marcus Fenix.
It's called what? Asfo?
Asfo Fields. A-S-P-H-O.
Aspo.
Aspo.
That's not really a strong title, is it?
Well, it's still Gears of War, but it's a really terrific book. I'm about halfway through it. The first
Fields.
Night I got it, I could not stop reading it. Just to get the backstory of Marcus Fenix and Dominic Santiago and get more of the story that's concentrated in the second game about him looking for his wife who's gone missing since Emergence Day. Just really, I can't recommend it enough. The book is great. The game is terrific. And the multiplayer is amazing. There's a mode in it called Horde where you and I think it's 5 other people can team up and they send waves of the locusts at you.
Sweet.
It goes on forever.
First game, Bill, Gears of War, the death matches are lame. So this one, they majorly improved on it.
Oh yeah, and the maps are enormous. The draw distance, the immensity of this game is just tenfold from the first one.
Sweet. Now, basically, I had to choose between that or Left 4 Dead, and since Left 4 Dead. On Amazon, you get $5 off and stuff. That was better to go with for me.
Yeah.
I'll play Gears of War 2 probably a year from now when it's cheaper.
No, you'll get it for Christmas from me, most likely.
No, I won't. Stop. Really?
Yeah. Well, so you know I always get you something for Christmas.
Pure evil.
Huh?
That too. Now, I sent that 1 year. But
this is another thing about the video games, is they're really ruining our lives. We have no time to do anything. We don't concentrate on anything.
I know, man. It's really interrupting everything about my life.
This was our reboot show. When we came back, the show would be completely different. But honestly, during our break, I didn't even want to think about the show or work on anything about it.
We were supposed to talk about a possible format change.
Like 5 minutes before the show, I was like, we're not not going to change it.
We're not changing anything.
We didn't talk about it at all.
No, we
didn't. We were supposed to do our special commentary that we've been working on.
Couldn't even think about the show. I didn't even want to. I didn't do anything for the show until today. Every clip, everything you hear, the intro, everything, I did it today, like the last minute. So that's why the intro sucked, by the way.
Yeah, the intro was great, man.
Oh, thanks.
Some Elbow, Left 4 Dead, little True Blood in there.
Yeah, what I did is I put some of the Left 4 Dead intro in there, and it is awesome. It's like, it starts with an intro with zombies are attacking or whatever they are. And there's just mayhem going on. It's scary as shit. And this line is in there, and I had to make a drop of this.
Damn it, Bill. Oh, it stinks.
That's awesome. So the demo came out to Left 4 Dead this week. And Bill, you were like, dude, the Left 4 Dead demo's up. And I was like, oh, shit. So I went to download it.
I had no idea. I was checking, I go to my sites every morning, and I saw on, I think it was Kotaku, that the Left 4 Dead demo was up. And I was just like, oh, my God, get it. Download it now.
I was like, come on. It was like 42%. I was like, come on. Download.
We only had like an hour to play because you had to go out.
No, my daughter was napping. And I was like, she's going to wake up any moment. Yeah. I gotta wake her up. I got to play this before I can wake her up.
You didn't want to traumatize her with exploding
zombies. No, I can't. Yeah,
heads.
I can't play that game in front of her. But we have a phone call. Hello, welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry. How can I direct your call?
Video games department, please.
You're there.
You're there, sir. We're talking about Left 4 Dead. Are you willing to join that conversation?
Left 4 Dead, that's anti-Christian and deadly and bad influence on my children.
Well, don't play it around them then.
Exactly.
Okay. Giant enemy crap.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you're willing to compromise.
If everything was that easy with people.
Oh, okay. No, but seriously, though, Left 4 Dead, we started playing it. Now, picture the whole game. It's a city overrun with zombies. And welcome to the show, Andy, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, and
Thank
it's not just it's not your Fulci Romero zombies.
This
is the Zack Snyder... super fast.
This is fast zombies. Fast running zombies. Okay, picture.
And there's all kinds of different ones. There's the hunter, which is.
Oh,
like...
yeah. Wait. You're getting ahead of yourself. Wait. I want to set the mood real quick. You start.
I'm just so damn excited.
You set the mood. Yeah, basically, you're in a zombie movie in the game. You're in a zombie apocalypse. It's not even a movie. The thing is just horrifying because you're four people. It's four people co-op. You start on a rooftop. And from the intro, you've seen the whole world's gone to shit, and you have weapons and guns, and you're just trying to...
And they're just laying around.
Yeah, what are you trying to do? Are you just trying to survive, and you go to point A to point B, and...
I assume, I don't know the full story, but I would assume that much like other zombie survival movies, you're trying to make it to a safe place.
Right, like, and you can what you can do in the game is find your way to safe rooms, where you lock the door and then everyone can rest, take a pee break, get a new shotgun or machine gun,
load up on the old ammo.
Yeah.
I want to bring up something that I noticed in the game. I thought was kind of funny. Did you notice that some of these zombies have different names, right? Like you said, hunters and whatnot.
Yeah.
Did you notice these are kind of like anti names, maybe for people who don't like? It's like the PETA people don't want the hunters. So there you go. That's the bad zombies are hunters, and then there's smokers, right? And everyone hates smokers now, right? Smokers are on the out.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously this is made from people who are from a younger generation, maybe our generation, because they hate boomers, right?
Boomer?
So they're saying something about baby boomers, and they're all fat and plump and all that kind of stuff, and they explode.
Well, what about the witch?
What about the witch? Is that like the overbearing wife?
Which is the witch? Yeah, there you go. That's your anti...
mother-in-law.
No, it's an anti-feminist movement.
Your anti-Wiccan statement there. So.
No, I say maybe it's
Gloria Allred.
Well, when the game started, Bill and I were ready, and we're like, come on, Andy, join us. Where is he? And I was like, oh, I got to see some of these zombies. I'm going to go downstairs. So there's some down there we shot and stuff. Boom, boom, boom. It's really cool. They come running at you. So I was like, and Bill was like, I'm going to send Andy a message. Let's go back on the roof. So we walk back up, and I shut the door on the, old building. They have the roof up there to go to the roof. So we're waiting there, and Bill, I guess you're typing in a message on Xbox or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I was.
All of a sudden, I'm like, dude, is somebody at the door there? And he's like, boom, 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 bam. And like 20 zombies come out. It's like, holy shit, Bill, come back. And they're like everywhere.
Shit out of me because I just got back into the game.
I know. I was like, they can bust doors down. Holy shit. It was scary.
Well, it's that game director they talk about that they incorporated into the game. It's like an artificial intelligence that it can tell whenever you're too comfortable, and it just sends a wave of zombies at
right.
you.
Right. It adjust to the way you play the game. It keeps adjusting.
Yeah.
If you stay still too long, the game will totally screw you. And like we were saying, there's different kind of zombies. There's one called the witch. She's a woman crying like, oh, hoo, hoo, hoo.
Trying to trick you.
If you get too close, it says, you have disturbed the witch. And she's like attacking you. Yeah. It's like, holy shit.
From that point on, we're like, don't disturb the witch.
Yeah. And one time I was like, Bill, do you have a pipe bomb? Let's throw it at the witch. We'll take care of her that way. Don't do that. What it does is the game goes to F with you. It sends like every different kind of boss type zombie at you at once. You've got the smoker, the boomer. Everybody's like there at once. It's like, oh.
Well, what about the tank? The tank is like the abomination. It just shows up out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a giant Incredible Hulk zombie, and it's tearing everything apart, and you're just trying to run away from it. The game is insanity, and it is
fun. It's the personification and the reality come true of all the old Mulberry shows where y'all were blowing up zombies. I think that's
it is.
It is.
It's us trying to do a show while playing the game. In fact, we need to find a way to do that. Play the game while doing the show.
We need to do is get some of the people from Valve on. You're like, do you listen to our show?
Well, Bill, there's one with a tongue from far away.
That's the smoker.
The smoker will wrap around your neck and pull you away. So somebody,
and then if you kill it and you're close to it, it releases like this toxic zombie smoke.
Yeah, and the characters go.
Well, what about the boomer? The boomer, if you don't take it out fast enough, it pukes on you.
Yeah, there's this big fat zombie that vomits on you.
And the bile actually attracts zombies, so a swarm will come at you and you can't see shit.
So you're playing and it'll go, and you're like, oh shit, because all of a sudden just all these zombies and just start charging. And you're like, and you can't see either because there's vomit in your eyes, so you're just shooting blindly.
I'll have to get this one.
The other players are like, stop shooting me, or watch what you're doing.
Steven, have you even hooked up your Xbox?
Hey, I'm going to hook it up.
I'm going to have to get this one and never open it.
It's for a rainy day.
my rainy day is coming. I'm buying a house.
Nice. Is it close by?
It's next door to my brother.
Nice. Hook that shit up and we'll all be playing online.
By Christmas, I'll have a house.
Nice. Congratulations, Steven.
Thank you.
Could you use a roommate? I'll move down there.
Do it, man.
Invite myself.
Yeah,
I heard you can order a wife from Taiwan or something, right?
Totally, man.
Or Russia.
Fill the house.
Steven and I can go over to Russia and get one of those hot like Russian chicks that totally don't want us for our money.
You'd be like living alone since I travel so much.
Yeah, I know.
Steven's a perfect roommate, man.
He's never there.
Hell, you'd have a great marriage too. Never home. That'd be perfect.
No kids.
It'd last a long time.
Just marry someone for your money, then you'd be good.
So I'm going to say Left 4 Dead. We're going to talk about that more when we actually own the game, but the demo is enough. We played it with a listener named...
Rowdy Gizmo, Patrick.
Yeah, Rowdy Gizmo. I believe he's in the chat room. That was a lot of fun.
Hey, I'll call back in a few minutes.
I'm sorry, Andy?
He's going to call back in a few minutes.
Okay, have a good one, Andy.
I think he had to go to Chili's and pick up some food.
Oh, okay. So anyway, so that's our video game talk for now. And another thing I wanted to talk about is you introduced me to this program called Play On, where you can you install this program on your computer, and if you're like Xbox or PS3 connected to a router with your computer. You turn on your PS3 or you turn on your 360 and you see the Play On icon there and you can watch Hulu on your TV.
Yeah, the program runs in the background on your PC and acts as a media server. It basically, you know, opens the port to the internet where you can connect to Hulu or Netflix or what else? There's a couple other things. You could even access MP3s and stuff on your computer as long as you have that set up with Play On.
Really? I haven't messed with that yet, but I've been watching a lot of, you know, Hulu's cool, but you have to watch it on your computer. Now a lot of stuff's in 480p, so it looks pretty decent, I guess. Not, you know, you still...
Yeah, there's still some bugs.
Yeah, but I started watching some old shows on there just to see how it looked, and they look pretty decent. I watched an episode of Doogie Howser.
Excellent.
Nice. I watched several news radios, which was like my favorite show when that was on the air. I love
Perfect
news radio.
Show. Love Jimmy James.
Yeah, Jimmy James. And I watched something else. I think I watched an episode of House, but I was like, this is totally badass. You can access... See, sometimes, you know, I'll miss something like Kitchen Nightmares or something and have to watch it on Hulu. Now I can watch it on my TV via Hulu. It's really cool. So play on. If you have a computer and you have a PS3 or a 360, you ought to try it out. You know, especially...
It's been in beta for a couple months now, so it's free, but when it does get to a final version, it's going to be a one-time fee of $30, and that's well worth it.
Yeah, it is. We watch some Netflix stuff, too, and, you know, basically what that's cool about, like, Netflix kids stuff.
Yeah.
I could watch with my daughter or something, access that easily.
Well, and also that's going to change now with the...
Xbox Live revamp.
Yeah, the new Xbox experience, the NXE, is going to have streaming Netflix.
Yeah, I can't wait to try that out because I heard there's going to be HD, and I'll be curious to see
what
that's
like. But as you mentioned to me, I mean, the Xbox 360 is loud. It's loud. It's
right.
It also gets really hot, and you have to put one of those external fans on it.
Right.
And that's even louder.
Because I was telling you, I can watch Play on either the 360 or PS3. I've decided the PS3 because the PS3 doesn't make a sound. When you turn the 360 on, it's like...
the PS3 may be a kind of a... It looks like a George Foreman grill, but it is... You know, the cooling system is well-designed.
The menu system, everything is real simple and nice and pretty, you know?
Yeah, and it changed colors with the months.
Yeah. I mean, I got to say this. 360, I love it for gaming and stuff. Everything else, PS3, I like.
Yeah, 360 is the gaming machine. The PlayStation 3 is the Blu-ray player / media center.
And don't get me wrong that the 360 gets more action than the PS3, but PS3, Hulu stuff, that'll be cool. And who knows, maybe a week from now, I'm like, that was new last week. I don't give a shit anymore, you know. Totally
you're in the know now, so it's...
Right.
You can be jaded.
All right, we're going to go into entertainment, and I believe Andy's back with us, right, Foggy? Are you there, Andy?
Did I miss the rest of game talk?
Yeah, you
Pretty
did,
much.
But I need you to stick around because we're going to talk about Quantum of Solace real quick, okay?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Neither have I, so be right
Neither
back.
Have I.
Oh, wait, no, we got a voicemail. What am I doing rushing the show along like this? Let's check out this voicemail, Andy, and you can comment on it, okay?
All right.
Hey guys, I just wanted to welcome you back. I really missed your shows. Can't wait to hear how your time off was. Looking forward to reviews on all the good shows like Mentalist and Heroes and all that fun stuff. By the way, I hate to tell you this, but, you know, the Christian Slater show, I forgot what it's called already, is gone. Canceled. Done. Sorry. Anyway.
My own worst enemy. Yeah, my
so
own worst.
So funny. I don't know what it's called, but it's canceled. That's why it was canceled.
Thanks, Izzy. Yeah, poor Christian Slater. He's gonna have to. We'll see him in 10 years.
His name is George Cuffs.
Yeah, George Cuffs. We'll see him in another 10 years, right?
What a dick.
He'll be around. I mean, he's always in bad B.
He could be
movies.
On Heroes, a new hero. They introduce a new one every week, so he could.
Why
fill
not?
On.
He could be the new Nicky.
Yeah, he's two different Christian Slater. Whenever he looks in the mirror, he sees himself in like an Izod pink shirt. He's like, who's that pussy in there? Oh, it's my alter ego. He's not a cool agent like I am. So, Andy, how's it going?
Well, hey, I did want to mention that I lucked out today and got the Xbox.
That's right.
No, eat my ass.
Like a week early.
The new Xbox Live experience. You've got to test drive it, as it were. Tell us, what do you think of the new Xbox Live experience?
And we have to wait till next Wednesday.
Yeah, it was. It's nice. It's very graphically very pretty. But, you know, I mean, it does basically the same things. It's just,
Is it
it's
faster?
Just new coat of paint. I don't know if it's faster. It's just, it's got a lot more stuff and a lot more places to go. and everything's more graphical and
graphical.
Graphalafical.
It's graphalaficus and all that kind
did
of
you
stuff.
Bowl?
That's
Well, Andy,
did
you test out Netflix, Andy?
I did test out Netflix. I was a little disappointed only because, you know, like when you stream stuff over your PC, if your connection is not, you know,
exactly.
really kicking great,
it's as good as your connection.
Crap.
You know, also, so I have the Roku player, and a lot of those things they have up on Netflix look like shit. Some of them look great. Mostly the newer movies are the ones that have been remastered and put on DVD.
Right.
But some of them look really god-awful.
Mm.
The movies they got from, remember they bought out...
Stars.
Those Stars movies look like they're underwater. I mean, it looks like they're...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's. I was trying to watch one the other night. God, I can't even remember what it was, but it literally looked like there was Vaseline over the lens, like I was watching a Barbara Walters special.
Yeah, I went to watch The Abyss on PlayOn. I was like, oh, this will be cool. It's not anamorphic on DVD, so I'll watch it now. It's a friggin' full screen, so...
Yeah, speaking of, when are we going to get that on Blu-ray already?
I have no freaking clue. It's like, hey, Jim Cameron, can you take a step away from Avatar and put this on Blu-ray, please? But anyway.
Well, you know, the problem is that this is the future of where we're going to go with our video. It's, you know, we won't own anything anymore, but it's got a long
That's
way to
bullshit.
Go.
That's bullshit. I don't subscribe to that at all.
I don't know.
I want to own something. I want to hold it in my hand. It's the same with that Amazon Kindle where people are like, oh, you can buy it digitally and have it on this little thing. You
I don't know,
what?
Man, but do we really need all the DVDs we already own? I think.
Well, I mean, they could sell them on USB drives.
Or movie
you
rentals.
Know, and, I mean, how
that,
small
that
is...
That is not feasible financially. That is way... They wouldn't be able
well,
to
no,
do
you
that.
You can put it on a drive yourself, but
well,
I think...
The problem is it... Movies are becoming so disposable now.
You're right.
I mean, they're like a song on iTunes now, you know? And I think that you're going to see, you know, in years to come, obviously, you'll see more of this. And the quality is obviously going to have to get better for it to be a reality.
Well, they're going to have to develop better codecs for compression.
Yeah, exactly. Someone's going to have to continue to work on that compression. But at the same time, there'll always be that market that wants to have a master copy. And, I mean, that, you know, for certain movies, absolutely. But I'm with you, Jay, a little bit, because... Who wants to own, you know, it's like, you know, 3 years ago when I used to buy everything that I wanted to buy on DVD, that was cool. But now it's just like, God, how many times have I actually watched that? You know?
Right. I mean, everybody bought Iron Man, but seriously, how many times are you going to watch it? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Just download it once or something like that. But what I was going to ask you is, have you tested out the HD yet?
I did. I tried to watch an episode of Heroes in HD. I didn't watch the whole thing. Just I wanted to test it because the pickings are extremely slim.
Yeah, I'm sure.
On HD, and most of them are crap movies. The only one that I put on there was The Thing. Was
well, most of everything on streaming Netflix is crap movies because they can't afford the big budget ones because they have to pay a certain amount of money for people to just stream them.
But it's a start, right? It's a start.
Well, and now it's like. It really didn't look. It looked like watching VHS or something. It was not HD. Yeah. It was not.
You know where?
Oh,
really
it's super
want,
VHS.
If you want quality streamed movies, you have to like invest in something like
Vudu. Yeah, Vudu.
Yeah. I mean, I've looked at getting a Vudu player for ages now. They're just too much money.
Well, plus I don't
the
mess
ones
around
that,
with that kind of
like
weird
XL.
Shit. Like Sing chicken it. Legs and I shit. Think- I don't get
well,
into that stuff.
How does that make your picture better, chicken legs?
Well, yeah, I know.
Chicken
blood on her wall.
KFC chicken legs.
KFC chicken legs.
Oh, I love that drop.
I went and downloaded a movie on HD on Xbox to finally test it. I finally checked out Star Trek First Contact on there just to see what the HD looked like.
Nice.
And,
great
you
movie.
You guys know, it's really good, but it's not like... You know, when you
it's
go
not
to
true HD.
Blu-ray.
It's like super DVD.
Right.
It's like up converted 480p.
I mean, it looks good. I mean, it's all 720p. Some things look better than others. It depends on the movie you get, but it's better than DVD. You know.
Yeah. No. It looks good, but at the same, you know, since I don't own a Blu-ray player,
it's what I have to do if I want to watch an HD movie, because definitely this Netflix thing is great, but it's kind of throwaway. You know, it's like
chicken legs, KFC chicken legs.
You don't even care about watching a movie. You're just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'll watch it, whatever, an episode of a TV show or something.
Right.
Yeah.
It's for whenever you're bored.
So, that you know, that's a debate we'll have later. Download versus disc.
Yes.
Hey, we're going to do a special show called Download versus Disc, and we're going to sell it. Right, Andy? Because recently...
Selling works, gentlemen, as I can attest to.
Right. Andy, you put together a 5-episode package of The Saloon. They were kind of episodes, would you say, kind of stuck in purgatory?
They were stuck in post-production hell. And right. I finally was like, well, I would either sit on them and not edit them because I was just stuck with them, or I could just give them to them again. A lot of people were saying, you know, we know that you have these shows you've mentioned before. And so I said, well, you know what the hell? I'll bundle them and I'll do an experiment, because there's been a war in The Saloon about if it can or if it cannot make money. And I said, well, let's just see. Let's see what happens. And we put it out there, and it's been overwhelmingly successful. And I'm very thankful to all of the Hollywood Saloon listeners.
Well, I'm really happy for you, though, Andy. That's really cool. And it kind of shows us something that when people like a product enough that they've been getting for free, they're willing to pay for it to get more. Am I right?
Right? Well, that's the deal, is that... You know,
it's kind of like whores.
Whores give it away, don't
like
they?
Whores.
Oh, yeah, we are whores.
We're total whores.
We're just prostituting ourselves.
We're turning from whores to high-priced call girls.
Call people.
Call boys. Oh, that sounds worse. From now on,
sounds gay.
What do you guys say about this? Every episode of Nowhere Mulberry, $3. What do you say? God, I could just...
Like, a dollar a person here?
You know what? F your show, man. No, so we get $1 a piece.
Foggy doesn't get a dime.
It's supposed to be free, man.
Well, that's the thing. I can understand with some people, but I get sick of that. When Andy, you posted the show that, $15, it's basically $3 per episode, 5 episodes. Most of which I wanted to listen to. I really wanted to hear the Batman and the Speed Racer one. The Dark Knight, I mean. You know, everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm paying. But there has to be some person, well, you know what? I'm used to getting this free. I can get other podcasts for free. I'm not paying. You know, it's just like, hey, I understand that. But you know what? Why don't you just keep your mouth shut and go listen to your other podcast? That's the way I feel, honestly. Well, don't have to be a dick about it. Just move on. Seriously.
Well, that's the way I felt, too. It's kind of like, you know, then go listen to your other free podcast. That's fine. These particular ones for right now are not.
It's like,
and
you're really going to complain about shit
them,
you get for free, really? Usually?
Right. And that's what I'm saying. It's like, if you want them, they're here for you. And if you don't want them, well, then just walk away. I mean,
go listen
I'm
to Film Spotting.
Anybody. I'm not forcing this down anybody.
Did you say Film Squatting? Film Spotting.
Yeah, go listen to Film Squatting.
Hey, Film Squatting, that's a great podcast name. Film
it's
squatting.
Like people that shit on movies.
It's like homeless people that go live in movie theaters.
Yeah, that squatters. Too. That would work.
Film Squatting. I just got to get out of the cold, so I'm going to pay to see this shitty movie, man. High School Musical 3. Something like that, you know. I don't know.
Just go to the dollar theater.
You know, and we knew that there was going to probably be a few people like that, and that's fine. And I've even talked to some of them privately on email. And smoothed it out with them, and you know, it's,
so you didn't have to do that.
It
shows how
like,
cool you are.
You can't go to a store and just walk in there and say, you know, these. I'd like to buy this DVD for free. I believe that it's, you know, like, well, I'm sorry, you're not walking out without it.
I can see movies for free at home on my TV. It's like, go home then and watch them.
Yeah, go home. Exactly.
But so yeah, so.
It was a great experiment, and like I said, the listeners came through and were extremely generous and extremely cool. And
I'm happy for you. I think that's awesome. And Bill and I, you know, we've been talking about it'd be great to make something like this, which I'd say we're pretty productive at, making shows, finding a way to get paid doing it. Obviously, we can't sell ads because a lot of ad-type companies or whatever who want to sell ads – they want you to have like 100,000 listeners and that kind of shit. And that just doesn't happen.
We only have 50,000.
And I could ask for a download from every single listener. And we do get generous downloads from time to time. We got 3 this week from different people, which is really awesome.
You mean donations?
Yeah, what did I say?
Downloads.
Yeah, three donations.
That was really generous of three people to download our meager show.
Wait, let's reset like I didn't mess up. And we get like three donations this week, and that's just awesome. But, you know, if I was to say everyone needs to donate per listener, I'm sure there'd be people who are like, dude, screw that, I'm not listening anymore, or whatever. Or I can download it without them knowing.
Well, you what you should do is do like Andy did there. You have special shows that you can charge for.
And that's what we're planning on doing.
I gotcha. That sounds
and we have some things
that that's reasonable.
Yeah, so you get our normal show for free, and then special shows, you pay for them.
Absolutely. That's the way you do it. You don't shut down and say, we're never doing anything again for free. That's what everyone does. You still do the regular show, but on the side you say, here's something special. If you want it, you're welcome to it.
And the first one, you know? Downloads versus disc. <You know? laughs> We're just going to cut this part of the show out, and I'm going to sell it. What do you guys think? Special guest
Andy.
What
was like when you edited together like all the Smallville? Well, I know it wasn't Smallville.
Yeah,
was,
I called them DVD companions, yeah. Like
if you
Lost
do a,
or whatever.
You do the Lost companion, you sell that, like, for a...
That's too pain in the ass, though.
Well, no, I'm just saying...
I know what you mean, but... Yeah, that's what... Yeah. I think we will...
That's what I'm saying, it was a pain in the ass, so you need to be, be compensated
right,
for...
Right, like, I did do a Lost one, and some people liked it. I did a 24 one just for any list, dude, I don't think you ever did, but people are like, hey, do some more of those. It's like, nah, it's a pain in the ass, all right? I'll maybe sell one, like do a Friday Night Lights thing.
Make a special one and then put that on the web to sell, because
right.
Then your work will be justified.
And people
like, well,
people shouldn't think of it as paying for this. Think of it as supporting us.
That's why I called it donation. You notice that I was very careful with my words. I didn't say, I'm selling these episodes. I said, for your donation of 15, you're welcome to all these shows.
And you know what? Honestly, Andy, I've listened to half of them. I think I've got two more to listen to. I think they're great shows, and I think that they were very releasable, how they were. I know you don't. I mean, you're making the show, obviously. That's how you feel about it. Like, if you were telling me something about my show, I'd be like, yeah, okay, Andy, but I'm like, whatever, I'm doing it the way I do it. You know, I understand that's the way it works, but I thought they were very well-done shows and well worth the $3 per episode.
Cool. Thank you, man.
It was worth it just for the Speed Racer episode.
Definitely appreciate it.
Well, we're going to get into entertainment now, okay?
All right, guys. I'm going to get off your phone and listen, and glad to have you back, guys.
Well, thank you for supporting us, Andy.
Thanks,
we appreciate
Andy.
It.
Adios. See ya.
You sound like Bartles and James. Thank you for supporting us.
All right, let's do
entertainment.
That first segment, $5. You want it?
Yeah, well, I think we could get the money from people that freebase the Hollywood Saloon.
Yeah, those people eat that shit up.
Need a fix, man.
I need some saloon, man. I'm Jones,
and my teeth are jittering.
Hey, that would be a cool movie if people get addicted to a podcast, and when they don't get enough of it, they turn into, like, fast-running zombies. Unless they listen to more
saloons.
That would
be too scary for me,
man. And it can't be the saloon that they've already listened to. It has to be a new one. So Andy's sitting there editing. Shit, I got to save the world. I got to edit a friggin' Kubrick Masterclass or some shit like that.
You know what? That's an episode of Heroes.
Oh, it is.
Finish the podcast, save the world.
All of a sudden, Hero shows up behind Andy. You must finish Kubrick Masterclass. The world, fate of the world. He's like, get the hell out of my house, China man. He's like, I am Japanese. But anyway, I just wanted to talk about that Quantum of Solace has come out. It's the new James Bond movie, I haven't seen it. I would like to go see it. Steven, you want to see it, right?
Yeah. The last one was awesome. I liked Daniel
Yes,
Craig.
It was. It was a reboot.
Yeah, very good.
Reboot Casino Royale was awesome. What the hell is going on with the lights here?
Much darker, much better than, much more like the Ian Fleming tone, except they could make James Bond a little more misogynistic, and it would be more like the books.
He needs to nail more chicks during the movie. But also, Quantum of Solace, I'm reading kind of mediocre reviews here.
Yeah, what is this deal? Like, they're saying it's filled with action, but no real story.
I've read many times they're trying to Jason Bourne it up too much. Like,
oh, come on.
Bond is too moody. He's not funny. He doesn't have any, he shows no personality.
You prefer Roger Moore again?
But here's one thing I noticed. Like, I noticed it's 71% or something of Rotten Tomatoes, which certainly isn't bad. It's above average.
Better than sending James Bond to the moon.
But here's one. Did Harry Knowles like it? That's all I care about, guys.
Oh,
I was watching Conan O'Brien, and they're like doing alternate titles to this.
What
to Quantum of
Solace.
A modicum of silence.
The funniest bit about Quantum of Solace I've seen on the late night shows was on Jimmy Kimmel Live. They went out on the street and got people to try to spell Quantum of Solace. And it just showed. I love stupid people. Hilarious.
Hey, that sounds like jaywalking. Kimmel, what have you done?
Yeah, but they had a whole bunch of different titles. And then one of them, it was. I don't remember the title, but it was like the James Bond, Daniel Craig standing there, and it had all these bikini babes in the background, and then it had Horatio Sands peeking up over James Bond's shoulder. It's like, what the hell?
I like Modicum of Silence, though. That's good.
Modicum of Silence.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go see Quantum of Solace, then we're going to record a review show with Andy and release it for $3. What do you say, Bill?
Okay. I hear it, but okay.
All right, let's get into What's On at TiVo. Now, things have changed somewhat for the show. Instead of talking about whatever's going on in Dancing with the Stars, shows we don't watch, where we just goof on, we're going to go right into the shows we watch. And the first show we're going to talk about is Top Chef. Top Chef returned this week. I didn't even realize it till the following day. I was like, oh my God, that premiered last night?
And it was spoiled for us.
It premiered on Wednesdays. And now it's in HD, which is awesome, because now you can look at that food in HD.
It was at the same time as Friday Night Lights, too, wasn't it?
It comes on an hour later, I believe. It comes on, doesn't it?
I think it's they're both on at 9, right?
Well, the good Wednesdays thing about Bravo is they show it like 3 times in that night.
Oh, God. They really get the mileage out of it.
So even though if it comes on at 8, it comes on right after it. Just comes on again. Because Bravo doesn't have shit there.
And then it comes on again like 3
show.
Hours later for the West Coast.
Right. So Top Chef is back. This time it takes place in New York. And it's basically a competition to find the top chef. And what they do is they pit these people against each other with different contest? What would you call them? What do they call them on the
quick
show?
Quick fire challenge.
Do you remember? I think last season I could never remember.
Yeah.
Quick fire challenge.
No biggie.
Remember that, Jason?
Me and Bill remember.
I didn't like this quick fire challenge because I didn't like how they got rid of someone first off.
It was weak sauce, man.
Well, it
seems
really
that.
Cruel because they
yeah,
tell
it
you
was.
You have to. Everyone has to peel an apple, and the bottom like 8 has
well,
to compete
first
again.
Cruel bit. You know, it was like. It's your typical bullshit reality show move where they invite 17 people, but there's only 16 spots.
Yeah. So it's like, we're going to crush one of you. Yeah. We're going to destroy
right
your dreams. Yeah. You're not even going
to
get to see the dorm.
Goodbye.
And I love, basically, they peeled the apples and they had to dice them and then they had to prepare something. And the girl who didn't prepare her is the best. What I think is funny is she knew one guy and they went to culinary school together, right?
Yeah.
And apparently that school sucks because she got eliminated then, and then he ended up being the guy.
Bob Flay went there, man.
Oh,
really?
Okay. So, Bobby Flay. So basically she...
Bobby Flay and his man boobs.
What was sad is she gets eliminated for her little apple salad. I knew when she made a salad she was screwed right away, by
well,
the way.
Salad is like the ultimate lazy...
It's just
idea
not,
chef thing. Like, oh, I'm just going to make a salad.
You can see from Tom Colicchio, she goes, I made this salad. And he's just like, thanks. And he's just like, lame. You know.
But even the guy she knew, they ended up being up against each other.
He said,
I made a salad.
I made an apple slaw. See, he tricked it up.
Oh, there you go.
It's like, not quite a salad, but a slaw.
And it's got yogurt dressing. I love yogurt.
I was like, I wouldn't touch
yogurt.
That shit. But anyway, as she gets eliminated, she's walking away. She goes, I didn't get to see the kitchen. She's riding on a boat on the way home to the ferry.
She seemed like a nice girl.
Yeah, she did.
She was the one with the husband deployed in Iraq, right?
Yeah, she's going home disappointed. So
that sucks.
But basically they put everyone together and they, you know, they draw knives. They do this every season where they pick a contest and you're competing against another person over the type of cuisine that's popular in certain areas of New York.
Yeah.
Like Chinatown will obviously be Chinese food. Or
yeah, Brighton Beach, Russian food.
Yeah, the Russian food. And what was the one that was like Indian type food?
I really don't know.
It's like
I don't know New York enough.
Yeah.
I've only been there like three times.
But, you know, you don't really, what's cool about the show, we don't really know who any of these people are. But right away when they introduced the Finnish guy, I was like, that guy's going to be a finalist, man.
Well, you know what kind of annoyed me? I don't know if it was the same for you, but they really didn't do the introduction of everyone. Like,
it seems like they picked
their
favorites.
Scattershot at the beginning of the show, choosing who we would get to meet and who we wouldn't.
Right. Yeah, I felt that too. I mean,
like, they were trying to cram too much into the show, and they're like, oh, they'll get to know him eventually, instead of saying, like, this is this.
Obviously, they wanted us to know who the Finnish guy is, because he's kind of, he seemed good right away.
Him and the Italian guy are very arrogant.
Yeah, you know the Italian guy's going to be arrogant, but the Finnish guy...
they're allowed to be arrogant because they're good chefs.
Yeah, you could just tell right away that he's going to be good, and he won the quick fire challenge because he peeled the apples faster than anybody.
Well, some of those, like last year, there was the guy who was real arrogant, but he liked to deal with the foams. You remember the?
Yeah, Richard.
Yeah,
he was my pick for the winner, and he bombed at the end. Remember?
Yeah, he choked.
And maybe this Finnish guy will choke.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes their arrogance gets them.
Right.
Yeah, but Richard was a what's that called? A gastronomic.
He
liked all that, the sous vide cooking and
right.
the foams and the chemicals and all that, and that's always going to be a little when you start to depend on that, I think it takes away from
I don't think I've ever eaten food like that. It seems kind of neat, but it also seems kind of gimmicky to me too.
It definitely is gimmicky. I actually went to one of Bobby Flay's restaurants when I was in New York, and he kind of had a little bit of that gimmicky thing going on at Bolo. I think that's the one I went to.
And
really,
Tom Colicchio, he basically says, you know, if it tastes good, that's fine. But if it tastes bad, if you have one thing that tastes bad with other stuff that's good, it ruins the meal. So, hey, if that gastronomics, whatever it's called.
Yeah, exactly.
If it tastes good, then fine. If it doesn't, then all that foo-foo shit is worthless, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, what's the name of this guy who made the dish that on accident? He made like a perfect dish, and they thought it was great. I don't even remember. We haven't learned the names of these people.
Nobody is stand out enough for us to remember their names.
Except the Finnish guy whose name I
don't know. Kind of a complicated name, too.
Yeah. Let's check out this clip and see what happens.
Alex, tell us where you went.
We went to the Indian market downtown in Manhattan.
Alex, what did you make?
I made grilled lamb chops with a spicy ragu topped with basmati rice.
Mm, I love ragu ravioli.
I made a masala rubbed New Zealand lamb rack with a basmati macadamia nut tzatziki.
Are you familiar with Indian food?
I am not. This is my first time actually cooking it.
How about you, Alex?
Luckily for me, I have enough experience with Latin food, which kind of correlates a little bit with Indian food.
Flavors are good. They're spicy. They're hot, but they're not over the top. Overall, I think it's a very nice dish.
Thank you, chef.
Let's talk about Eugene's dish.
I think it was more Indian in flavor, for sure. I think the masala really gives that flavor out. I think it's well done.
You call it a tzatziki, which it is nothing like. Eugene, without knowing it, you've actually made one of the most classic dishes that every South Indian home has, and that's curds and rice. You hit it out of the park. So I think it's unanimous.
I like
that
curds
you
way.
In the running to win this elimination challenge. We'll see what happens later. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Lo and behold, Padma actually said that I created a classic Indian dish. I'm surprised and I'm happy at the same time. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. F yes. So, you know, a show like Top Chef, I can eat a meal while I'm watching it, and it can be like a bowl of cereal. It tastes better because of these fancy foods. Unlike Kitchen Nightmares, which...
I can taste the O's and the Cheerios.
Kitchen Nightmares makes me want to vomit while I'm watching that show, because, oh, look at that, it's all rotten, and I'm just like, oh. First of all, they've showed like two Kitchen Nightmares this week. They showed two last week. Is Fox trying
Why
to
are they
burn these off? Are they trying to burn these off as quick as possible?
I don't know.
Maybe it was because maybe they're trying to catch up with the season
debate.
Because of the World Series and stuff.
Right. My favorite episode last week was the fishing restaurant with the boat like crashed into it or whatever. Yeah,
Jack's. I've actually been there.
Jack's Seafood. Really?
When I lived in Michigan. It wasn't run by those bodybuilder guys, but I've been to that restaurant.
My favorite, that guy, the bodybuilder, just stare at people. He makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But how many, the story to all these restaurants when they're unsuccessful is they don't have fresh food.
It's not fresh food and poor management.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Incompetent management.
And okay, first of all, Sabatello's. I don't know if you guys watched both episodes. Did you?
Not this
Sabatello.
I did.
I saw the Mexican restaurant.
Well, just listen to this clip. This Italian guy, he's obviously been very successful in the past. He even they even kind of did a description of him of how much money he's made. He's a successful restaurant, so he opens Sabatello's, but it's just not working out, and it's the food. The food's not right. When Gordon Ramsay walks up, he goes, "Wow, this is a nice place." How many times does he walk into a place, he looks at the dining room, he's like, "Wow, this looks excellent.
I don't have to change anything
here. The kitchen's clean, the dining room is nice and warm."
And so, obviously, he goes, "Oh, it must be the food. Let's try it out." Because he knows, okay, it's not the way the place looks. And here's when the guy is introducing Gordon to the appetizers.
My food is good. My food is very good.
So, what would you recommend for lunch?
My lasagna is homemade.
All this is fresh, right?
Yes, everything else is fresh. If it's not fresh, we don't sell it.
Liar.
It's a wedding soup. It consists of vegetables and little mini meatballs. It's really nice. Actually, the best balls in town. It's awesome. People love it.
Huh? Okay. Well, that was quick.
Best meatballs.
That's what she said.
Was that a cicada in the background? Cicada?
It's hideous. Like a mishmash of bits of put together and brought to the boil, and anemic grey meatballs in there.
Anemic meatballs.
Yeah. That's their wedding suit?
That's to get them in the mood to get married.
I'd rather get divorced.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, bombed. And, okay, Kitchen Nightmares producers, what is this sound? They play
You're
like...
right, that's cicadas.
They play it 100 times on whenever he's like, "Hey, it's, I got great balls."
Whoever controls the soundboard on the editing needs to have their fingers cut off.
Definitely.
They just put way too many sound effects, way too much music, way too many cues. It's ridiculous.
It's not even that it's too much music. It's too loud of music. Yeah.
And what's interesting about this episode is he didn't really need to fix anything. He told them to clean up a little bit because they had a drawer of old food. But it was all about the chef sucking at his job and not caring and having to get him to care a little bit. It didn't even seem like they improved it that much. The guy just had a successful dinner service, and they played the happy music at the end.
Well, no, Chef Ramsay did the Come to Jesus meeting where he projected the guy's past and his dead brother and all the things that got him emotional. It was like, "Oh, I don't know what I've been doing. I need to get..."
Simplified the menu a bit. And
you just nailed the three things. People don't care.
Yeah.
Too many items.
How many times have you seen the narrator goes, "The chef has now found his passion again"? You're like, "What? No, he hasn't. Come on." Like,
he found
5 minutes have passed.
He found it in the drawer with the rotten chicken.
"I learned to cook again, thanks to Gordon." But, I do think Gordon's a great guy and he's always doing good stuff, but sometimes it seems rushed. And I think the last 2 weeks' episodes were better. I love the Jay Willies episode.
That was incredibly painful.
Now, okay, let's cut to...
Anytime an episode involves white trash, it's good.
I know. The guy looks like he smoked like 2 packs a day for 30 years or something.
Well, the Mexican food
I thought
restaurant
he actually
on this
slept
one.
In a smoke tube.
He sleeps in an ashtray is what he looked like.
He sleeps in an ashtray.
You can tell the kind of people, like, you can just tell they smell like an ashtray. It's just like,
oh, these ashes are so soft. You should try this.
Is there anything worse, though, like a waitress or something?
That just reeks of smoke. How
you doing, honey?
You need a refill on there.
You know, it's funny. Tonight, I decided to get some Chinese before the show, and I'm waiting in my car outside the Chinese restaurant, and these two women walk out, and you can tell from like 15 feet away that they've smoked their entire lives. And they walk past the car, and I have the moonroof open because it's a nice cool night, and then it's just that stench of
stale
perfume
cigarettes.
And cigarettes.
There's nothing worse.
And I've smelt that before in almost every white trash household I've been in. I was like flashing back to my childhood whenever I'd go over my neighbor's house. It was just like, oh my God, get me out of here.
It's disturbing when it's like a 70-year-old lady and she just reeks. It's like, come on, lady, you're in your 70s, you couldn't lick the smoking thing yet.
I live in a pretty, I live in the country, okay? And you go down the road a couple miles to this, there's a grocery store and there's a Chinese restaurant and there's a Subway. And I'm sitting there, and this old lady, she's got to be in her early 80s. She gets out of her car. She has the cigarette just hanging out of her mouth, like it's like stuck to her lip. And she's coughing and hacking and waddling into this Chinese restaurant, and she still has the cigarette in her mouth. And it's just like, what are you doing to yourself? Why? Why do that? Why become the cliche?
Yeah. It's not good for you, people.
Well, it's when they're driving. They're the ones, the same ones, with the windows rolled all the way up. This smoke stays in.
Well, they have to enjoy that. They have to savor that. They don't want to lose any of that nicotine.
That's awesome.
Okay, let's talk about Fiesta Sunrise. It's a Mexican restaurant.
That's a terrific movie. Sequel to Tequila Sunrise.
Yes, the sequel to Before Sunrise with Ethan Hawke and Julie Delpy.
And After Sunset.
And Kurt Russell and Mel Gibson and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Where they meet up in Tijuana.
Now, okay, I don't care what Gordon Ramsay has done to this restaurant after the show's over. I will never eat that place.
Never.
There are roaches. First of all, if you see roaches in a kitchen, not going to eat there.
No.
And God knows, I've probably eaten in a lot of places I just didn't know.
Right.
So here's a good part. This is quite a long clip, just because I didn't know where to stop, because it just gets worse and worse when Gordon Ramsay starts to go. He starts to go through a kitchen and go through stuff, and everything gets worse and worse and worse. And first of all, the funniest thing.
Everything was put there Friday.
Yeah, just yesterday. Yesterday.
Friday.
Come on, not
Friday. No, Sunday.
Okay,
Friday.
Last Friday. He goes Friday, but the best thing is they have that free jug of margarita that you can stand
like
there.
Like a World War II thermos.
You can stand there and just get drunk, and then by the time you sit down, you don't realize how bad the food is. But let's
He drank it, he's like, whoo, that'll put some hair on your balls.
Let's check this out.
When were these done?
Yesterday.
Yesterday? Oh, fake. Please. They weren't done yesterday. Okay.
You can ask him his
damn cicadas everywhere.
You got cicadas in you.
You infested with cicadas.
Last week. Of course they're from last week.
They're eating all the roaches.
That would be cool.
Oh my God. Look at the fat. Look.
Oh, that was nasty.
Look,
it was like
how fat you are.
It was a hamburger gross meat with a stack of fat, dried fat on it.
Yeah, that was gross. And then
no, that was liquid fat. That was just sitting on top of the meat.
You take them from the table back into the drawer.
Oh, yeah.
Dump the chips back.
These chips taste bad. That's why he goes to dump them back in the drawer.
Yeah, the little girl goes, this chip tastes like cardboard.
You're not supposed
to. Yeah, how often does a little girl complain about the food?
It's not my date. 5
She's never
old.
Been to CC's Pizza.
I found them in the
place
fridge.
Rocks.
Smell them. What is that? I'm getting nervous now. Talk to me. What is this?
That's the fish we're using.
That's the fish you're using.
In the
that slimy fish.
Smell that in there.
And he's
it's
like,
hard. Ooh, it's curled today? Up. It's dried
it's
out.
All over his fingers.
No.
The that's the chicken.
Was really scary
he could have said it was salted cod. It's bacala.
When he discovers the roaches, though, I started getting nauseous.
Look how crispy and curled up it is. Just touch that.
Oh, it's like solidified.
What's this here?
This is steak tip.
Why is it all wrapped up in tinfoil? Look at the color of it. It's oxidized. And what's that in there?
It's pieces of pork.
That's pork. What have you done to it? Why is it all stuck in there with blood at the bottom of the tray? What is that?
Blood.
Oh my God. When's all this from?
Friday. He took it out Friday.
Friday.
Everything's Friday. Look how green and slimy it is. That's from Friday. Look. Look at that.
Listen to that
That's
sound.
From Friday. Look at my fingers. Friday.
Oh, I'm getting
it
nauseous again.
Like he just Look. Opened like the egg of there a face hooker.
How
so
do you say
slimy.
This in Spanish? This is not healthy.
No muy saludable.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, this is not healthy. How do you say this is not healthy in Spain?
A hungry cat would walk away from that.
A hungry cat would look.
The burrito.
What's that one?
The chicken with enchiladas.
Oh, that thing of burritos was so nasty.
Oh, that was so nasty.
What's that?
Because I probably would have ordered a burrito there.
All the meat stuffings for the burritos and the enchiladas.
I love that. It's fatter than you.
Yeah, that meat, that ground meat that he's got in there, and it's got a layer of fat on top of it that's thicker than the meat.
It's like a cement mixer. Are you stupid?
I honestly think that the manager of that place was mentally slow.
He never reacted to anything. He just kind of.
Now I'm feeling like stupid.
Now I'm feeling stupid.
He's like, I'm feeling stupid.
Is it Pedro from Zimbabwe Dynamite?
I wasn't here on Saturday, but what were they expecting?
My head got hot, so I shaved it.
They had this trash can. It was a trash can full of beans.
It was a gigantic gray. It's like that sort of trash can you take out on trash day.
Yeah.
And he was like, who are you serving an army with this? What?
I love this part.
So you're serving that and trying to charge people money for that. That's why you don't care.
I care for this.
You don't care. No way. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry, but we're stopping service.
He puts the trash can full of beans there, and he
breaks that friggin' table.
Breaks the table, and people
and
are like,
"I love the guy's eating in the middle eating." And he goes, "Sir, put that there now. Yeah. You would not want to eat it if you saw where it came from."
And I love as they're leaving, they're looking at the beans, and this girl goes, "Gross! It's in a trash can." Dude, I honestly would have walked out in the parking lot and been like,
"Would you? I would have made it to there.
Actually,
you know?
Would have taught him a lesson. I would have thrown up in the restaurant, and it would have started a chain reaction.
When I was a kid, I didn't realize it, but I started suffering from panic attacks at a really early age. And every time we would go out to eat when I was young, I would have to throw up. I'd eat until I was full and my stomach hurt, and then I'd have a panic attack and I'd have to throw up. So my sister would have to take me into the bathroom. And one time we were at Red Lobster, and I lost it right in the lobby, about 10 feet from the door to the bathroom. And I think everyone that was waiting for a table left.
Oh my god!
So I've been there.
Bill, that's horrible. I'm sorry you went through that.
It was very traumatic at a young age. Yeah, it was. My parents never wanted to go out to eat with me because I would throw up.
Oh my god. Why?
One time, I even got nervous because it started to happen. I'd even get nervous and throw up before we went into the restaurant.
Holy
shit! So one time, one of my sister's graduations from high school. We're going to this Chinese restaurant, and as we're going in, I throw up on the sidewalk, and as we're coming out, there's this poor, small, fragile Chinese guy cleaning up the vomit from whenever I went in.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's bad. Bill. Oh, that's for my shrink.
Wow. Well, luckily,
I don't know why I just shared that, but there a little
insight
into
Bill.
Well, I'm glad you don't have to go through that anymore.
Yeah.
You can go to restaurants now, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, okay.
Now I just worry about people looking at me because I'm a fat ass stuffing my face.
No. Bill, when you come down here, we're going out to every restaurant that I know. That's
I'll scare people. Like, oh, my God. You know I eat here.
That's
everything.
One thing, when you watch Kitchen Nightmares, if you've ever gone to a restaurant, and this has happened to me before, I immediately have to rush home and you have diarrhea. That's because you've been food poisoned, right?
Definitely.
Food poisoning.
The first hit.
Yeah. I remember when Emma was very young, We all ate at this place called Chicken Express.
That sounds dangerous.
It's all chicken tenders and gravy, like white country gravy. The whole family got sick. Emma was puking every hour.
Puke is severe.
Chicken is particularly dangerous because of salmonella. That can be some of the worst food poisoning you'll ever have. Yeah. You know, first you get nauseous, and then after you get nauseous, you get the chills.
Right.
And you get a fever.
You could time it. You would puke every
15 minutes.
Exactly. Just like that, because your body's just like in waves. It was the worst week of her life. Definitely it was the most stressful week for us, and I wanted to burn that place to the ground.
Yeah, one time I got salmonella food poisoning from a restaurant, and it was quite possibly the worst 2 days of my life. Like, the chills and the fever and the headache was so bad, I couldn't get enough blankets on top of me, and I literally started to weep because I felt so miserable. It was just I don't wish that on anybody. Even Von Jansen.
Food
I don't wish that
sucks.
On anyone.
Yeah, we've had some of our guys got food poisoning real severe had even been admitted into the ER for being dehydrated from
You have to be really careful with that. You have to drink a ton of liquid.
Another thing when that happens, it's your duty to report the restaurant because it'll just happen to more people.
Oh, it absolutely is.
And just remember this in Spanish.
No muy saludable.
It's not healthy.
Does she even speak Spanish? It sounds like she's Spanish, obviously, but her delivery of that sounds
what
like
does
they.
What did she say there? Listen.
No muy saludable.
No muy saludable.
It's like abracadabra. What? No muy saludable. Yeah, she made that up. She doesn't know Spanish. Good Lord.
Actually, the best balls in town. It's awesome.
Yeah, let's take a break, guys, because I have to go to the bathroom. And when we get back, we're going to talk about Heroes and Fringe and Friday Night Lights and that kind of stuff. Let's do it, all right? Be right back, everybody.
It's Energized Spider-Man, battery not included. Attach the spider clamp, flip the switch, and the motorized web climber starts him climbing, keeps him climbing. Energized Spider-Man, the spider web trap for lifting and pulling. The spider light, you can watch him climb in the dark and pretend he's searching for the enemy. The power pack turns on the spider copter, sold separately.
Spider-Man, fly,
Spider-Man! Energized Spider-Man comes with motorized web climber, spider copter sold separately by Remco.
Mattel's Battlestar Galactica Collection. You can imagine the Imperious leader commands the Cylon Centurion to capture Daggett.
Make Daggett lead us to the humans.
You can imagine Daggett fears Ovion, the enemy with insect arms.
Lieutenant Starbuck. Yes, Commander Adama. Prepare for secret mission.
Each figure sold separately. Mattel's Battlestar Galactica Collection. You can imagine the Viper launch station against the evil Cylons.
Colonial Viper's ready.
Spaceport, open.
Look, Cylon Raiders. Launch for a squadron. Missed one. Reset catapults. Viper's on target.
Viper launch station, not for use with other Battlestar Galactica vehicles. You put it together from Mattel.
Star Wars. You and your children loved it. Now, the Earthlings at Kenner have asked my associate and me to present the Star Wars collection. Truly remarkable toys and games for your children. What are you so excited about now? My goodness, the Star Wars TIE Fighter and X-Wing Fighter. Now your children can relive our great space battles or collect our wonderful Star Wars companions with Kenner's Star Wars action figures. R2, it's a little you. Kenner's new radio-controlled R2-D2 anyone can command. Ah, the Star Wars land speeder that moves like it's floating. And here's Kenner's Death Star space station. Four floors of action. A trash compactor, too. Listen, R2. That's the Star Wars electronic laser battle. A game of speed, reflex, and reaction. These and other toys and games in Kenner's Star Wars collection are sold separately. Batteries are not included. May the Force be with you and your children.
Hey, this Christmas party is getting a little too quiet. I think it's time we liven it up with my favorite Christmas gift, Mr. Microphone.
Hey, what's that?
Well, you set the dial on your FM radio and... Testing,
testing. Hey! I'm on the radio!
These kids are having a fabulous time with Mr. Microphone, the cordless microphone that actually puts your voice on the radio. There are no attaching wires, so you're free to move around. Broadcast over any FM car radio.
Hey, good looking! We'll be back to pick you up later!
You can broadcast in mono or with car radios in stereo. Yeah.
Professional entertainers use Mr. Microphone for rehearsing. And you can too. It's practical and great fun for the whole family. It makes the perfect Christmas gift, and it's only $14.88.
The Batman and Robin Batcoders, walkie-talkies that transmit and receive. 9-volt batteries not included.
But I've got the danger signal charge. I got your signal. Let's go. Come on out, Joker. Oh, no, it hurts.
The Batman and Robin Batcoders with fold-up antenna, alarm button, and danger signal. By Mego.
Bubble-o!
Bubblebee comes complete with tube of bubbles. Refills also available. New from Toy.
Bubble-O's.
You are about to see something incredible from Tyco. Silver Streak Curve Huggers now defy gravity as they hang on through Tyco's new double loops. But that's not all. Turn out the lights. See the headlights go off. Watch the whole set glow in the dark for real night racing. And light up your youngster's face. Night Glow Double Loop Racing. From Tyco, of course.
It's the Starsky and Hutch chase set. Starsky, Hutch, and their pal Huggy Bear are after the bad guys. That red police car scream into action, knocking down anything in its way. You know television's favorite cops are here. It's a complete set with chase car, newsstand, back alley fence, and lots more. Starsky, Hutch, and Huggy Bear knock down anything in their way as long as they get their man. The Starsky and Hutch Action Alley Deluxe Set. It's by Mego.
Slinky toys are fun toys.
It's me. Fun, it's a wonderful toy. What walks downstairs alone or in pairs and makes a slinkity sound? A spring, a marvelous thing. Everyone knows it's Slinky, it's Slinky, it's Slinky. For fun, it's a wonderful toy. It's fun for a girl and a boy.
Slinky is a toy product of James Industries.
Can I have some fun? I like the log. Log, log. It's funny how reminiscent that Ren and Stimpy commercial was to that.
Yeah. So that was a 70s theme break time, right, Bill?
Yeah, I'll do one again next week. I'll put some Evel Knievel in and stuff like that.
Oh, I want to go.
But that was Andy requested it. So I just, you know, I've done the 80s because I grew up in the 80s, whereas a lot of our fans grew up in the 70s, so.
Yeah, you know, I was born in 71, so part of my consciousness is late 70s, but I don't remember. I mean, I can't think of between 80s and 70s. I just know it was all grouped in there, you know. I don't know which one was from the 70s, which one's from the 80s.
Yeah, I think I started remembering things around 81.
Conscious.
Yeah, I definitely remember the Evel Knievel motorcycle. Where you go, Sky Cycle.
Wait a minute. Oh, I had one. I had the
motorcycle and the Sky Cycle.
You remember those? They had them in the 80s, too, those T-bar racers. It was like a zip line that you pulled out of the car. And then
I wonder if anyone remembers. I had this doll. His name was Pulsar. and he had like a chest plate, like this muscular dude. You take his chest plate off, and you could squeeze him. You could see blood traveling through his body, like to his heart. Nice. Do you remember that? And I remember my dad wanted me to get a racetrack, you know, the kind where you hold the trigger and it goes around.
So my, slot cars.
My mom took me to Toys R Us, and I saw that Pulsar doll. I was like, I want this. No, I want this. And so we come home with this friggin' doll that you can see blood traveling through his body. And my dad was like, what?
Is it
what
the same
to
one
the racetrack?
The head in the back of his eye?
Yeah,
his head?
You could look through his head.
I had that one too.
Nice! You could look through his head, and you could. There was like something in his head that you could.
It was
turn.
A magnifying, yeah.
Yeah.
On top of his head had that little dial.
So I brought that
it's
home,
like,
and my
it
dad.
It looks like a $6 million man kind of doll.
Yeah, so my dad's like, where the hell's a racetrack? What's a stupid doll?
Dad's probably looking forward to slot car racing, and.
Yeah, and I'm
you
bringing
come
this
home with.
No, Dad, you squeeze him, look. You see blood.
Look at his heart and lungs.
See, you know,
it's
a little kid. It's like, badass, look.
Hearing you guys talk about it, I think one of my sisters had that doll because didn't he come in like a red, white, and black track suit? And then
it was
he
a
had
track
like a
suit.
Track
yeah.
suit. Remember that back in the day, like $6 million man, track suits were the
and
shit.
And it had the Velcro yeah. front that would rip apart so
yep.
you could see his chest.
So lame. But why... You, do you remember Stretch Armstrong trying to break
you
that? Come on,
I got so much trouble. My sister got the Stretch Armstrong one year.
I think there's napalm inside of him.
I think I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I would chew on it, and I ripped his arms off.
Oh, my God.
We used to throw
it.
It
was
it's
chewy.
Like, it's like a brick.
Holy shit.
We
yeah.
throw it
didn't
at each
stretch
other.
It would solidify. Like, there was silicone there.
Tell him, Vanessa, don't let go of it. It's like, we're going to rip this bastard apart.
I remember that after Stretch Armstrong came out, they then had the Stretch Monster.
Stretch Monster,
like,
yeah.
The green
like
one.
A green-looking dude. Yeah, I remember the 70s now. Yeah. I remember that shit.
Hell, I remember stuff from the 70s, and I was born in 79, so.
Now, there was one of those zip wheel cars. Like you were talking about, you know, had the big zip
line. Yeah,
they
had the big plastic
thing. But it had
thing.
One big wheel in it. It was like a dragster. Right.
It was a big wheel in the center, and it was a dragster.
And
yeah,
you pull the plastic thing and go zoom.
Yeah. And it would make that sound like that zzzz even whenever it ran.
And I always remember Tobor, robot spelled backwards. And he'd pick up like a suitcase. It was like the lamest robot ever. Oh, he picks up a suitcase. Nice. With his claw hand. Pretty gay.
Didn't he have his own detective agency?
Tobor. He should have.
Tobor's detective agency.
That would rock, man.
Actually, the best balls in town.
All right, enough about your balls, dude. Okay, Heroes. They kind of did a flashback episode now where they're... Some things they fit in together pretty well, like they edited together where it was... I thought it was weird, though, that they waited till season 3 to do this, not like season 2.
It was a reboot. It's like, listen, we really screwed everything up, so let's start over here. You remember this stuff?
The best part was Peter's wig to make him look like his old haircut. It's like, couldn't you get out to match his hair color? Or?
It was emo Peter again. Mr. Nurse emo Peter.
But it was about how they basically pushed Siler along to become what he was with Kristen Bell. He was a nice guy. I didn't buy that she kind of liked the guy, even though he already killed somebody. It would be kind of hard to get past that part. Would you? I mean, maybe she would have sympathy towards him, but not. You know, he felt redemption. He tried to hang himself.
Good writing.
I mean, I would say it's getting better. Didn't they even fire 2 people from the writing staff? Jeff Loeb.
It was a huge embarrassment within NBC because, like a week after that. Entertainment Weekly article came out about how bad Heroes has gotten.
Right.
They fired 2 of the showrunners.
Yeah, Jesse Alexander and Jeff Loeb.
Loeb, who wrote the Batman, The Long Halloween, and Hush.
He's actually
that
a comic
like,
book
that
writer.
That was a connection to the comic book industry.
Right, and he probably stepped down. He's like, I've had enough of this shit.
He wasn't the best comic writer, but, I mean, he was better than Heroes.
I think he worked on Smallville, too, so that's a...
A plus.
Yeah, that's a major plus. Yeah, so anyway, this episode, it's a hero in a coma with the black dude, and he's...
It's really convenient storytelling.
He goes back and he's watching all these things put together in the past, like Arthur Petrelli... how he was an asshole and he wanted to kill Nathan because Nathan's going to expose Linderman for being a bad guy. And he had ties to Arthur Petrelli and all that stuff. And also the mom, Angela Petrelli, we know why she's a bitch now. It's because he was erasing her memory the whole time, where she was just the happy wife. And when Linderman returns all of her memories, she realizes what a cocksucker he is. And I mean, really, the guy's an asshole, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a total dick, and now she's an evil bitch. So you understand her reasoning.
Hey, I'd be an evil bitch, too.
But what's with the deal? Why did he chop off the black dude's head, man? That was traumatizing.
That was a total dream. You think one second he's there, and then the next second he's in Africa.
He's like, are you the one dreaming about me?
That wasn't real.
No, I think it was real, because remember, he has Peter Petrelli's power, so he can travel, teleport now. Remember?
Oh, shit, you're right.
And he's like sucking. He's sucking Hero's power out.
He's about to suck Hero's power.
See, I kind of like the idea of a very powerful bad guy where you're like, how the hell do we kill this guy? I like that idea. That's what I liked about Siler in season one. Let's just see if they go the Smallville route where they get rid of him very easily.
Almost like a toe to toe Siler against his dad.
The lazy writing, I can already tell you how they're going to kill him.
How?
They're going to get the Haitian. And they're going to do the same thing that Angela Petrelli did. The Haitian will be there. He won't be able to use his powers, and they'll kill him.
Yeah, that's possible.
I mean,
they could have done that with Siler.
No, it's not possible. It's what's going to happen.
Do you remember that earlier episode where HRG, or Noah, they call him whichever they want, he's been partnered with Siler, and he's standing next to the Haitian. He goes, one of these days, I'm going to figure out how to kill that guy. The Haitian should have went like, dude, he doesn't have powers when he's standing next to me. Hello. He's like, I don't understand what you're saying. What are you talking about? When he's standing next to me, he doesn't have any powers.
Speak English, not Haitian. What did you say?
Like, no, well, one day I'm going to discover...
I only speak Haitian.
I'm going to discover how to kill Siler, but he's invulnerable. When he's standing next to me, he has no powers. Well, I'm gonna go get some lunch.
It's selective hearing anything? Loss.
It's like, dude, give me your gun. Shoot Siler in the head. See, he's dead. Now, as soon as you walk away, he's gonna come back to life. We'll chop him up into pieces. We'll put put one ear in one box and another. We'll mail it for different parts of the world, bury it deep in the ground, and he'll never come back together. So,
he'll regenerate just from his nose.
So I don't think it's worth attempting, but one day I'm going to discover weakness. It's like, I'm going to kill you, you son of a bitch. But anyway, here's the funniest part is you find out now how Arthur Petrelli faked his death, and he did it pretty easily. He just sat in another room and telepathically told the doctor to tell him he was dead. I want to see his body. No, he's dead. No, she was just like, I want him cremated as soon as possible, ASAP. And he's like,
I don't want to see his body at all. Never mind that.
How'd you like to be the actor who has to... he has to stand over Robert Forster, and Robert Forster is just looking at him. He goes, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll do it. You're instructing there. It's like, how did he do
well,
that?
It's like whenever somebody calls you and they ask you to take a message and you kind of pretend you're writing it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like,
got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Is there an extension for that?
Well, I'll tell him you called. Oh, okay. And screw off going back to my video games, you know. Mm-hmm. So at the very end, Peter and Nathan, they're mulling over their poor dead dad. And I love the way the mom comes along and she does that thing where she's supposed to be talking under her breath, but it's loud enough for everyone to hear. And you're wondering how they didn't hear their mom say this. So let's check it out.
He's with Izzy now.
Izzy, one of our listeners?
Izzy.
Well, what power does Izzy have?
He hated that dog.
Of course.
Ugh, it's a dog.
It was the only living thing he met that ever disobeyed him.
You remember we would sit with Dad out here?
This is a good scene.
Watch as he buried the bones.
Emmy worthy.
Yeah. I can't believe he's gone.
Let's not idolize your father because he's dead. He wasn't a god. He was a man. Deeply flawed in ways you will never know.
It's like, where at his funeral, Mom? Can you, chill out a little? I mean, seriously.
Cue the swelling music.
Well, at least they found a way to involve Kristen Bell more, who I like a lot. So let's just see where this goes. Because next week, the eclipse happens, guys.
Uh-oh.
So let's see what they
What's make it all up. Mean?
Let's see what they make up at the last minute next week.
Speaking of, Kristen Bell needs to put some weight back on. She's getting too skinny.
She's doing that Hollywood thing where, like, all the girls on 90210, they're sticks. We like a meat on bones. I don't care who this studio head guy is.
She
like,
needs to get back to Veronica Mars season one weight.
I know.
Where she looks amazing.
The baby fat. A little bit of baby fat. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't like stick girls.
It's not even fat. It's just, you know, it's meat.
It's just,
there's
it's
a reason.
Just average weight.
There's
person.
A reason why rock stars, they went from dating models to porn actresses. Because, no, I was watching something on HBO. Because
they have large fake breasts.
Yeah, they have more meat on their bones. Okay, let's talk about Fringe real quick. Love the Fringe. Fringe was on a break, too, so they didn't have any episodes for us to skip over.
And what an episode to come back with.
It's all about a parasite that's attached itself to the dude's
heart. Yeah.
At first, when they showed the side of him, I thought it was a mouth with teeth, didn't you?
Like, yeah, it looked like a large, like, gray Pac-Man.
Yeah, but instead it was like a millipede.
Like a millipede,
something.
Yeah, I saw it right away.
I thought it was a tooth. I thought it was like a mouth.
Yeah, so did I, and that creeped me out more than anything. And then when they showed it close up, I was like, God, it's still pretty creepy. Because as these points.
It should have been a mouth. It should have been like a, you know, like a sentient.
Well, they also show it had these tendril things going up his IV tube.
Now that was freaky.
Like its roots, like it was growing.
Like, yeah.
Like a tapeworm.
That was nasty. So basically what they needed is to... this guy was in a German prison incarcerated who may have known something about this, and they needed to get information from him, but they couldn't talk to him.
Well, he knows about it because he created the...
Yeah.
Right. And he wouldn't tell them anything until they found this other guy, Joseph Smith, which who also created Mormonism.
they needed to find the seeing stones.
I love the tense scenes, like, you know, we need to find that Joe Smith guy and make sure he's alive. So Peter's going, he's like, oh shit, we gotta find this guy. And he drives up right as the SWAT team's breaking in. You see the guy jumping out of the window, and he pulls a gun. He's like, no, no, no. And they shoot him in the head. He's like, ah, shit. You know, they killed the guy. So then this scene happens with his dad, and I love this. I love the dad where he's talking.
He's insane, you know, obviously.
The black guy plays such a great straight man where he's, like, talking to Walter Bishop very seriously, and he goes, do you have a mint? And he doesn't say anything. It just shows the black guy staring at him for a second. And then
well, perhaps some gum.
He just turns away. He doesn't say a word. But let's check
Breath
this
is out. Atrocious.
Oh. Peter, hey, it's Astrid. Your father wanted me to inform you that there is fluid accumulating in Agent Loeb's lungs.
Tell him we need help quickly.
He says we need help quickly.
Insert this into his IV. Let me talk to him. Hello, Peter. This is me, your father, Walter Bishop.
Thank you, Walter. I know who you are.
Excellent. We need to talk to that man, Smith, right away. He may be our best chance to save Agent Loeb's life.
I know that, but he's dead. He was shot. We're out of luck.
Does he still have his head? Is it still attached to his body?
Only you would ask that question seriously. Yes, he still has a head.
Fainted. And perhaps in this case, death is simply an inconvenience. Bring him in and hurry. He's been shot in the head. Is that a problem? Yes, that's a problem. Of course it's a problem. A bullet in the head would normally indicate significant brain trauma.
Well, it would also indicate that he's dead, but you didn't seem to have a problem with that.
This procedure is not like removing tonsils.
I've never had a conversation with a dead guy before. Forgive me if I don't know the rules.
Is this going to work or not?
Now, have you also noticed the doctor never calls Astrid Astrid? He called her Asteroid at one
Asteroid.
Point.
Asteroid.
I thought that was so funny. Asteroid. Yeah, and she doesn't even correct him anymore. She doesn't bother. It's hilarious. But I also saw, I got to mention, I saw The Observer again. Did you see him, Bill?
You know what? I don't look. I don't. I guess I just haven't caught The Observer fever.
What does he look like? You have to.
He, you know, he's a bald guy, real pale bald guy.
He looks like powder.
Yeah, there's a, when Olivia first shows up at the airport in Germany, you see him standing there for a second and he walks off screen. He's always kind of plainly there, or he walks by. It's really cool the way they work him in. I can't wait till I have another episode with that strange dude. But love the Fringe. And let's go ahead and talk about Friday Night Lights. Let's move, get this thing rolling. We've had, since our last episode, have we had three episodes?
Yeah.
All been good. Love the more Landry stuff, because I love Landry.
Poor Landry.
He's this young, cute girl has joined his band, Crucifictorious. He's repeatedly writing songs about Tyra. What did she say? All these songs are about one girl. I love that when they're at the dance, she goes, is that girl here right now? And he looks at her and he goes, no, she's not here. But he starts showing interest in this new girl.
And he wants to make her his rebound.
Yeah, well, how funny is that? He kisses her and she's got to go. And he goes right to Tyra. He's like, hey, we can be friends again. I got a girlfriend.
I met a girl. I kissed her.
And we can be friends again. And she's like, that's great. And the next day, he's talking to her, and she's like, I'm a lesbian. I didn't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure now. And he's like,
yeah, that's tough. I mean, come
on. He's just like, I got a lot of thinking to do. I'll talk to you later.
Especially the way she did that. You know, once you kiss me, I realize it.
It's like that came out wrong.
Yeah, completely wrong.
He needs to talk to Steve Martin to... you know how to deal with that.
Yeah. Now, what about that stuff with Jason Street flipping the house? I love that.
All kind that. Of moved a little fast for me.
Yeah, it
I
did.
Thought they would kind of, you know, expand on the story. It's, you know, he's having trouble with Herc and Billy and Tim, and he's trying to get the house done, and they all want to do something else. So, you know, he talks to Coach. Coach comes over and helps him one night the dance.
Yeah, they have a certain amount of time to involve his character, I guess,
yeah, and now
before he's off the show. There'll be another episode, but what I wanted is a walkthrough of the house when they were done, like those house flipping shows where they go, well, here's the bathroom before, and here it is after. I just wanted
to have a gay guy walk us through the house.
And, and you know, one thing that's interesting is I wonder if they got the idea on Flip That House on TLC, which I record, I DVR. I know it's gay, but I love those shows. They have a guy who is in a wheelchair who house flips.
Oh, nice.
He's paralyzed, and a lot of times if he can't go upstairs, it's two-story, he has his people take a camera up and videotape it and bring it down so he can tell them what to do and stuff. And I wonder if someone from the show saw that, and they're like, we ought to have Jason Street do that. And one thing that I think is cool about this, I love all the banter between them. I love when he got in a little slap fight with Herc also. They start getting pissed at each other.
Got the open house going on, people inside looking at it, and they're
looking out the window, and Riggins is closing the drapes like, oh, there's nothing to see out there. Let's go upstairs.
Yeah, let's check out upstairs. And I love Billy. He's always calling Billy stupid. He's like, don't do that, because you're in a wheelchair and I can't punch you. I feel bad about
slapping. Billy is stupid. He made a comment that was just so bad. He was talking to two of the prospective buyers, and he's like, yeah, and we got a hot tub, so, you know, if you want
to... could even fit a third girl in there, or a second girl, if you want a nice three-way or something. They're like, what? It's like, idiot.
Someone's a degenerate.
Yeah, but... I love Jason Street. I love that character, and I'm going to be sad when he's gone. I love all the stuff with the baby, or he's singing to the baby on the phone. You know, I love all those guys together.
That
love.
That stuff is heart-wrenching.
Here's what this show is perfect at. They have a group of characters that are always together, be it Landry and, you know, his...
Harrison.
Oh, by the way, him and Harrison, but they brought back... Wow, what is his friend's name? Who's in the band also. He was in there for one episode, and then he's gone again. I forget his name. He's got a weird name. He was in season one. And
the
we
drummer?
No, not the drummer, the bass player, I believe, who quits. He was in season one, and remember one of the football players beats him up or whatever?
Yep.
And he doesn't come back to school for a while? We haven't seen him since season one. He wasn't in season two at all, and all of a sudden he was back. I thought that was pretty cool. Sorry, I can't remember his name. But
I think, quite frankly, I think Jason Kadams is trying to... wrap up the show neatly in case they don't get a renewal.
It's possible, and he's doing a good job of it. I love the
doing an amazing job on it.
The stuff with the Riggins, and they make this highlight reel to submit to college. It's just all that stuff. Everything about the show is perfect. Honestly, I have no complaints.
No,
except that I wish
it was the best show on television.
I just wish it was 22 episodes instead of 13.
Did you like the little pep talk that the coach's wife gave Landry about girls?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like,
it's like, look, you're right. You're not in your element now.
Yeah, you're going to be successful in whatever you do. Most of these guys, these jock guys, this is all they got, man. It's over when high school's over.
Yeah. And all she had to go was say is, look at Billy Riggins.
And she's going to say, what does she say? Women will be all...
So you're going to be successful.
Women will be all over you.
And he's just kind of like, okay. And she goes, and I am right 100% of the time. Just ask my husband. Yeah. Also, they finally developed the J.D. McCoy character more, where you see that his dad is a total tyrant.
Yeah. One of those overbearing... Sports
dad, yeah.
You know, poor J.D. McCoy, he's not even allowed to have caffeine, sugar, nothing, fried foods. He's not allowed to do anything. And I love that scene where he...
Do you like the naked mile, you know?
Yeah. He's like, he goes into the locker room and the coach is like, you fell for the naked mile.
I love the way the coach goes, hey, come here. And he holds that finger, come here. And you're like, yeah, coach. Fell for the naked mile, huh? Yeah.
Kyle Chandler, really hope before the show's off the air he gets an award. He's the amount of heart. I mean, you totally believe him in the role. Totally.
I finally figured out what I was about to say. This show does a great job of characters that are always together, say, be it Saracen Landry or Riggins and his brother or Lila, Jason Street, and whoever he's out. They can combine all the characters from District Show in one room or bring them together for certain scenes. It always works. How you can...
It's like because they're real people. They're real friends.
The show is so well written. I love when they do that. And we've got more Buddy of his story where his kids come back from California and they're completely brainwashed now. They don't like anything about their dad pretty much. But,
meat is murder.
Meat is murder. Yeah, that's right. I love all that. I still want to know where Santiago is, but I guess he graduated. I'm never going to know.
Yeah, I think the thing I like the most about the most recent episode is probably the dumbest thing where they're singing The Flaming Lips, She Don't Use Jelly.
Oh, yeah.
That was hilarious. And the band is just so bad. And they don't like... candy coat it.
The drummer is so bad too, but there's something so sweet about it too. That garage band that exists in every city in America, they don't sound that good, but they're having a good time playing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think it's great. That's what I love about the show and the way they've brought what about when they Saracen and Julie, they brought them together
back
now
together. That was terrific.
And I love how great was the subtle scene where they're out at the lake. They don't really spell it out for you if they had sex or not, but you know that she did when she's looking in the mirror to see if there's something different about herself.
Yeah.
That's when you know. And that's another thing.
You know
thing.
What I'm waiting for is the pregnancy.
Yeah, but this is Friday Night Lights.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Learned from the murder subplot.
What they're going to do is it's going to be a scare for her. You know what I'm saying?
No, they're not going to do something that cheap. No, they don't have enough time.
Because it's already been done before, and you would expect it. I don't think so. But here's what I was going to say. What I love about the show, if you realize they do such great no-dialogue scenes. Mm-hmm. There's no dialogue in a scene. They don't need it. Take something, for instance, Heroes, where no one shuts the F up. Period. Yeah. There's always talking, blah, blah, blah. There's always exposition on Smallville. Hey,
always,
this is what we're doing.
Always gotta,
this
you know, they've got to have exposition on what they're doing.
But Friday Night Lights, they'll have scenes with no one talking. They'll just show
Like you're saying, the church scene where they were just looking at each other.
Right. That's what this scene does perfectly.
At the end, yeah.
And that's what I love about it. I love Friday Night Lights. I don't know how many episodes there have been. I haven't deleted a single one off the
Six.
Six or seven, I think. It might be seven. And there's only
I've got six recorded, so maybe
13.
I missed the first one.
Yeah, I think there's 13 this season.
I could tell you in 1 second. Let me see.
I can tell you first.
there are the seven episodes.
So basically...
I missed that first week of tagging it.
Will it be picked up for another season? I don't know, but I...
Oh, God, I hope. It's just such a terrific show.
If I was ahead of DirecTV and I go, hey, you know what? The show is fantastic.
It doesn't cost much.
Let's keep paying for it. What the hell? It's better than that Meatloaf music
oh my God. Let's say it cost $1 million an episode.
Right. And there's
you think that a $22 million investment for a full season of that show is worth it?
Hell, Vaseline is paying for it.
There,
the man.
If I won the lottery,
I just realized that now. think of that. Wait, Friday Night Lights is sponsored by Vaseline, and they had that song by the Flaming Lips. That was why it was in there. That's hilarious. Because every time it's like Vaseline man lotion.
You know what? I'm going to go out and buy that stuff just because
I'm going to support
Night
the show. Yeah, and I tell Heather all the time. I go, I need to get me some man lotion. I mean, that's not girl lotion. How they're like, men are stupid. We need to make lotion for men so they're not too, you know.
Yeah, it's like, you see this fence with the paint falling off of it?
Yeah.
That's manly.
Blue-collar men who do yard work and fix cars.
See, steel girders that rust.
Yeah. Not that dainty, gay women lotion. You need, this smells, even smells like motor oil. It's like, damn, putting that all over my body.
It's got a nice musk.
Smells like motor
like
oil.
It smells like Old Spice and motor oil mixed together.
It smells like the kitchen of Fiesta Sunrise.
Oh, man. Yuck.
It's disgusting.
All right. So anyway, hey, another thing I want to mention real quick. I'm not going to talk long about it, but I'm still watching Sons of Anarchy. I know I've just talked about how this show has become. It's like the antithesis of Friday Night Lights. How everyone's sweet on Friday Night Lights. You love them all. Everyone is horrible on Sons of Anarchy. They're all willing to erupt into violence at any moment. They're all crazy. They're all outlaws. They all break the law. They'll do anything.
They're Sons of Anarchy.
They're
man.
Sons of Anarchy.
It's kind of like The Shield
here,
right now.
Yeah, yeah. This is basically FX need to replace The Shield because this is the final Shield. And this show has grown on me. And Katie Sagal is like this, you know, crazy matriarch of the
Sons of Anarchy.
The Sons of Anarchy family. And here's the scene she has with this guy who's in the Irish Republican Army. He runs guns for him or whatever. And he's talking to her about God. And just listen to the scene. This is what I love about the show. I love the dialogue. Check this out.
You're Catholic.
Whatever I need to be.
Do you believe in God, Gemma?
I believe in family.
Think that's enough?
Who are you kidding? Sitting here. Ticking off Hail Marys. Think that gives you some kind of heavenly pass? God's going to open the pearly gates when those next two bullets catch you in the head.
It's all a little absurd, I guess. Truth is, I know I'm going to hell. Praying just makes my time here a little less miserable. A few acts of contrition could make you feel good too, love.
There's only one way these beads could make me feel good. Love.
Oh.
And it involves a whole different act.
What?
That's what I love about the show.
Jeez.
His dialogue like that.
Like a little anal play, I guess.
Yeah, and I I had to edit that scene last longer, but I had to kind of truncate it down. But there's a scene where she's having sex with Ron Perlman's character.
Oh, that's a sight.
And he's like, baby, you're all dry, hurting my dick, or whatever. She's like, oh, screw you. And she gets up, and it turns out she's going through menopause. And this chick comes into town that he has nailed before, because they have these girls called sweet butts, which basically they're there just to have sex with, and that's it. So she sees that girl walking down the street, and she's standing there. She's feeling all bad about herself or menopause or whatever, and this kid's riding by with a skateboard. She picks up the skateboard. Bam! Hits her in the face with a skateboard. She's like, what the hell? She breaks her nose. She gets arrested and stuff. And the show is so insane. I love it.
You know what's really gross is, have you seen the commercial for the KY stuff where they have it for the man and the woman? And whenever you know,
them,
do it, that creates an all-new sensation
Astral
whenever
glide.
The two meet. It's like, it literally made me dry heave the other
creates
night.
Creates an aura of pleasure or something?
Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, can you get any worse?
No muy saludable.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not healthy.
No muy saludable or whatever that lady's
name. No muy saludable.
That made me think of that. Fox commercial.
Hey,
Luego?
I think that Entourage has gotten better. It's been better.
Entourage has gotten better.
The last couple of weeks have been better. Vinny's working on Smoke Jumpers now, and I love that the director doesn't really think he's talented.
Yeah.
You can tell he's just like, and he doesn't know how to deal with, he doesn't want to talk to him, I guess.
Yeah, he's like, he keeps taking my lines.
Oh, I love the line where he says, young generation actors, like George Clooney head tilt acting. I love that. Because
so true, though.
I've always heard that George Clooney used to do the head tilt acting, the head bob smile.
Head bob, yeah.
And when he worked with Steven Soderbergh on Out of, what is that movie called, with Jennifer Lopez?
Sight.
Out of Sight. He said, you are not going to use any more of your tics, any more of your crutches that you go to, your acting crutches. You do the smile, you do the head tilt. I won't let you do, I'm going to call you on all of it. You're not going to do it on my movie. So he basically whipped his ass in the making of that movie. And if you watch Out of Sight, he doesn't do any of that shit. Like, I love the movie Three Kings, but he's head tilting through that whole movie.
Yeah, the entire thing.
Head tilt, head bob, smile. He does that whole thing. He did it the whole time he's on ER. But Out of Sight, that's where he finally whipped his ass and he got all those. Basically, it's lazy acting. The certain set of tools that you keep going back to and you make it through everything. And remember that movie, The Peacemaker? He's head tilting the shit out of that movie.
Is he ever?
But
I get dizzy from it.
But that's what I'm curious about is, because you got to think that basically Mark Wahlberg, a lot of people say he's not the best actor, but he is a movie star. Vinny, Ari's calling him a movie star, but he's not the best actor. So maybe that's where that kind of comes from.
Oh, it definitely comes from that. Totally.
That's why when they show scenes where they're filming, I think it's like Tropic Thunder or whatever. You know they don't have all this production value while they're filming a scene, you know? But the scenes always look horrible. I know it's supposed to be, you know, you're watching a TV show where they're on a movie set and action and they show it happening. It's like, oh, that's cool. It looks like a movie. But it always looks like really bad, you know?
I'm waiting for Vinny to do the horror movie that's about, like, an invisible force, like The Happening.
Oh, okay. But that would be after his major success, though. What would you say?
What was his major success?
Was Aquaman the Planet of the Apes for Mark Wahlberg? Is that what I'm saying?
Hell no.
I guess
Aquaman,
that's
Planet of the Apes
close.
Made shit money.
Well, Mark Wahlberg has made a lot more movies than Vinny has, so I guess they're kind of it's loosely based, so I think they move on
very loosely.
It's just different Hollywood stories, I guess, they've heard and stuff.
And like this Smoke Jumpers is the Perfect Storm,
I guess. Yeah,
that's entirely possible.
That Wolfgang Peterson, yeah, you're right, that probably is.
Yeah,
he directed
Werner,
that.
Totally.
At first I thought it was Werner Herzog because I wanted to see his name, but it's just a made-up name,
right.
You know, made-up guy.
That's what I was thinking,
but
too.
But that probably is, because
it's
there's,
pretty close to.
There's a scene where in The Perfect Storm where Mark Wahlberg is just floating in the water, and he's like, baby, I'll never see you again or whatever, and I'll always be thinking of you. You know, it's kind of this subtle scene, but the Mark Wahlberg is saying the scene, so it's just like, dude, he sucks at acting.
Yeah.
But that scene, it looks like he's hanging in a tree or something. He's like, I want you to feel emotion. You're dying here.
Yeah.
You're going to die. And he's like, come on.
You're the last one left in this ocean, stranded.
And that's just the scene next week or whatever. We haven't even seen that scene yet, but that's what it looks like. I don't know what's going on with the Gary Cole stuff, but I wish he'd act like the character from Office Space. Yeah, Ari.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My one of my sister's new boyfriend went as Lumberg to a Halloween party. So funny.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to come in Saturday and Sunday, too. But I think Entourage has gotten better. I got to say that True Blood, I'm really enjoying the hell out of that show.
A lot of fun. Not a terrific show, but definitely
a
shitload of fun.
I don't know what you mean by that, because I think it's terrific.
It's very Alan Ball-ish. I mean, it's tongue-in-cheek. It's not perfect, but it's a great show, and I have to watch it every week.
See, I like that we found out that what's his name? The bartender is a
Sam.
Shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yeah, yeah. How great was that scene where he goes...
he wakes up naked.
Where he goes, Sookie, I'm a shapeshifter. She goes, shut the F up. And then cuts the credits or whatever. How sweet is that? But also, I love the character of Jimmy James as the vampire.
Yeah.
That was sad. We lost him this week.
Jason and Amy took him captive, and he started becoming friends with them just by talking to him. Yeah, that was disturbing when she kills him. It's like, no! Like one
of
the most
out of nowhere. She grabs that I wonder, you know, play. She's been keeping that fence post down there for that reason, exactly.
Right. And you, let's face it, that he's one of the most likable characters on the show. So everyone is so flawed on the show.
He wears it on his sleeve, and we got to find out more about his family. And I mean, I hate that we lost him as a character.
I know, it's really sad. And I really think Jason's probably going to strangle that girl to death.
Yeah, there's
it's going to make him look like the killer now.
Maybe she's the killer, honestly. I mean, she's psycho.
I was about to say, well, now that... because remember that they made that little statement that the vampires can smell when they've been wronged?
Yeah.
Part of me wondered how much of that was bullshit, just because, remember, Bill has said that they spread rumors just to throw people off, like, about...
That's true.
Like, some people think that they have no weaknesses just because they try to... They want people to believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he could really smell if you've wronged a vampire, but he wants to put that in your head, so you're like, oh, shit, they'll know, you know.
Well, I think that's kind of what got to Jason. You know, he's like, dude, you know.
And I think he genuinely liked the guy.
Well, I think he was afraid at first.
Well,
he wasn't even
in the bar when that happened, was he? Eric was there?
Yeah.
I think Amy was just there.
No, just Amy.
Yeah, Amy was just
there. He wasn't in the bar. She was there working. He wasn't there.
I thought he was there.
She might have told him, though. Like, I think they'll know. But I really like the character. I just thought that was disturbing how she suddenly killed him so fast. But that weird shit.
Yeah, she didn't even have to think about it.
The character of Tara and Sookie, they fly off the handle too fast, don't they? They need to stop that. That drives me nuts.
Especially Tara. I know what they're doing with the character, but calm her down a little bit, honestly.
Yeah, and there's that stuff with the lady exorcised her mom, and her mom is better now, and she thought she needed an exorcism, and she got, $900. She goes through the exorcism.
$799.95.
I love when the lady goes. Well, you know, there's certain key moments where you know a character is not genuine or they're full of shit. I knew Amy was when she started talking about, like, when they were going to first go to Eddie's house, Jimmy James Vampire, Stephen Root, and she says, she's all Jones, and she goes, "Oh, it's the most natural thing in the world. Humans, they're hunters by nature, and they hunt their prey," and it's just like. She's not the chick that she kind of made herself vegan and all that. She's total psycho. You knew at that point. But the chick who's giving the exorcism to Tara, she tells her to drink this stuff, and she's talking about, like, demons are in cell phones and electronics or whatever. It's like, wow, she's full of shit. You know, you automatically knew there. Because you're thinking maybe demons are real in the world because they're vampires, right? They're shapeshifters, so there could be demon possession or whatever, right?
Right.
But as soon as she said that, I knew she was full of shit. So later on when Tara sees her, I knew that was...
Yeah, but the weird thing was, you know, I guess when she was being exercised and she saw herself as a child hallucinating.
Right. Remember, she gave her peyote.
Okay. Peyote and Epicac.
That makes you vom. So, yeah, that I thought about that too, but she was like peyote, so she was hallucinating. And she saw herself as a kid. Remember, they've showed flash. And that's another thing I love about the show, the flashbacks are kind of this hazy. When they show Sam's flashbacks as a little kid, when he turned into the puppy and ran away.
Yeah. But comes home. What was weird about that moment, though, was she had a clean knife, but after she... You know, stabbed at nothing. There was blood on the knife.
Yeah, I'm wondering if she hallucinated
that. But did she hallucinate that, too?
I don't know. That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
That's what
Because whenever she did that, it showed it from the normal point of view because there was nothing there when she stabbed at it.
Right.
And after she stabbed at it, there was blood on the knife. So,
and I got to say, when you were saying, like, this isn't a perfect show... Basically, this show always has me coming back for more. I can't wait to see next week. So, I mean, I don't have any real criticisms of the show.
I would consider Friday Night Lights a perfect show.
Right. I mean, definitely is this season.
But True Blood is an entertaining show. It's something that you want to keep going back
to. Well, it's not on the same level of... I don't know, emotional weight or anything. It certainly has great actors on it. And that's the one thing about...
It wouldn't be able to be as good as it is without the actors.
And that's one thing about how Jason's character, not Jason Street, Jason Stackhouse,
Yes.
The guy is not an intelligent person, but one thing that the character of Eddie showed is that he is a sweet guy and well-meaning guy. He's just an idiot who people can manipulate easily.
Right.
And the actor that plays Jason just plays it so perfectly, you totally believe that he's a complete, you know, numbskull.
And also he said that gay people, they don't usually look like you. He goes, yeah, they look more like you. I thought that was funny. He's just kind of standing there like, what? It's like, yeah, they dress more like you. And we
haven't even talked about the tribunal, the vampire tribunal.
Yeah.
With the Magistar, played by Zelko Ivanic.
That guy has been on every single show on television, I'm pretty sure.
He's a great actor. He's a terrific character actor. He's been on Broadway and won Tony Awards or nominated for him. And he's a great actor. He makes his rounds, man.
Yeah, he does. You know what? It cracks me up whenever they have background vampires, like at the bar or whatever. They're always like going, you know, they're just, you know, set dressing basically, but they're always acting kind of stupid. Like in Fantasia, they have the dancing quickly vampires. I think that's so stupid looking. It's like, ooh, you're all gothic and shit. You know, it's just like, I wonder how many vampires there are really old and who are newer vampires, you know?
Well, we found that we thought that Eric was like one of the oldest, and I guess not. You know, he's just a sheriff of that area.
Right. Basically, I believe he was like a Viking. He's that old. And this other guy, what did he say? He was taught everything he knows by the Marquis de Sade.
Yeah.
Good God.
Yeah, that's something to be proud of.
He has no problem with torture, I'm guessing. Yeah. And one thing is, I got to admit, I read the first book. I got it from my wife.
When they first got there and they were yanking out the dude's fangs.
I don't like any teeth pulling in any movie. Since the Marathon Man when I was a kid, I don't like any of that kind of shit.
You'll starve for 3 months because you can't feed till your fangs grow back.
Oh, and what about how if you kill another, usually they lock you in a silver coffin or with silver chains or something for five years.
Silver lined coffin.
And since you can't die, but you can basically wither away and still be conscious. Those vampires, they have strict rules.
That puts the Magistar around, what, like the 1800s? Late 1700s?
I'm guessing so. See, I have no idea how old Vikings are. I don't even want to take a guess and feel stupid.
I don't know. Marquis de Sade, I thought that would be the 1600s.
No, that's the late 1700s. I did a paper.
Okay.
But one thing I want to say is...
So you got to think, because then there's Civil War, so...
they're just really
Bill
old.
Is 200,
yeah,
roughly.
And Bill's not even that old. And one thing you learn... I don't even know if we learned it in the TV show or the book, but the older you are, the less blood you need to live on. It's the new vampires that have to drink more blood, nearly drain people. And when you're as old as Eric, is one drink of blood will replenish him, and that's all he needs. So the older you are, the more powerful you are, and the less blood you need, actually. So I thought that was interesting.
And then punishment
Vikings are around the 790s to 1066.
And
so that's even older. I mean, that's pretty early.
It's older than the Marquis de Sade.
And he just said he was trained by the Marquis de Sade. He could have still been alive for a while,
too. True. You know? Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Okay. He could have just met the guy and been like, hey.
Here we are talking about how old they are, like they're real.
That's what's so well done about the show. And when I love when Sookie asks Sam, if there are shapeshifters in vampires, are there like...
What else is there?
Yeah, they're werewolves. Oh, there's a part where she goes, are you like a werewolf? He goes, don't even call me a werewolf. They're horrible creatures.
Evil creatures.
They're evil creatures. She's like, wait a second, they're real? And he's like, yeah. She goes, what else?
What else is
she
there?
She leaves and sits on the stairs like, oh, okay, this is too much.
Because she realizes, you start to think like, okay, werewolves, vampires,
witches,
zombies?
Elves...
What you knew is completely...
Okay, there's the weird scene where Tara is all drunk and upset, and she drives and sees this naked woman and a giant pig. She runs off the road. What was that about? Pig lady.
I was just like, hey, that's the chick that was on Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, that's Michelle Forbes. I can't wait to see... There's only 2 episodes left, man. That sucks.
I know. What the hell?
I'm getting sad about that. And Same with Sons of Anarchy. And
hopefully they'll, you know, it won't be like a year wait.
Right. And, oh, there's another show that's come back, Brotherhood, that I know I mentioned before.
That just started. It's in, like, the third episode now, right?
Yeah, it's the second episode just happened. It's takes place Rhode Island politics and, you know, gangsters and stuff. It's a
and
really
Dexter's coming to the end, too.
Yeah, Dexter. Honestly, I have not seen the last two episodes of Dexter. I need to catch up.
They're good.
What just started was the Dr. Drew.
That show this year is excellent.
It's
Celebrity Rehab.
Celebrity Rehab.
I haven't seen a single
episode.
The people
they have in there are the most effed up train wrecks ever.
Well, let's put together some clips for it and play them next week, okay?
Yeah, and Amber Smith is so hot, and she's so drugged out, and just she's like laying in the hallway puking and stuffing her finger down her throat to puke, and it's just like, wow, you're hot and you're puking.
That's it's like disgusting. Last year, if you thought what's his name last year was Jeff Conley was bad last year.
Oh my god!
Holy cow! You got to watch it this year.
Scientology did not work for him. And it's so funny because Gary Busey is literally insane. They call a guy in, a psychiatrist. Dr. Drew can't even handle it. So they call in a psychiatrist. He talks to Gary Busey for a while, and he goes back to Dr. Drew, and he basically says, you know, when this guy had his motorcycle accident, there are certain parts of his brains that no longer function correctly, so he just kind of, you know, he has diarrhea of the mouth.
He doesn't
can't
know to
put
have
together a proper thought.
He doesn't have empathy for people.
Yeah, yeah. So they put him on a drug, and now he's even crazier.
Nice.
It's insane. He thinks like he's like the police of the rehab.
Yeah, he doesn't think he's there for rehab.
Yeah, he thinks he's there to help the other people with rehab.
Awesome. So basically, this is on VH1, right?
Yeah,
they rerun everything, so I'll make sure I
tag
it.
Yeah, like on a Sunday, they just replay the first two episodes.
On the weekend, they'll play every episode.
All right, well, let's talk about it more next week. And, Bill, you ready to do the news?
Yeah.
Let's do some news! We didn't talk about Smallville.
Next week.
Okay. No, we'll talk about it next week. We're already running late, so Smallville next week. All right, Bill, we're tricking up the news a little bit, right?
Yes, we are.
We're doing more entertainment friendly kind of news.
Yeah, I'm going to do some crazy stories, but I like to mix it up with a little more entertainment stuff.
Right.
Well, let's start off with a crazy story.
All right.
University of Minnesota. Minnesota. When Ramon Acevedo, a custodian at the University of Minnesota, had finished his shift early Thursday morning, two teenagers approached him near Smith Hall. According to Avisado, he was walking towards his moped, and the teenagers asked if it was his. When Avisado said yes, one of the would-be thieves pulled out a knife and said, "This scooter's mine now."
Oh, no.
Although the police report stated Avisado only took a fighting stance, the former Golden Glove boxer said he fought back. Oh, that's
nice.
Not the type of person you want to try to rob a moped from. I threw a couple punches, Avisado said. I was ready to dance a little bit. And teenagers then took off running, the 52-year-old Avisado said. I'm a little old, but I never forget my stuff. The University of Minnesota Police Department recommends compliance in situations like these, but that self-defense is allowed. Sergeant Eric Steineman said, even though fighting back can be dangerous, if you decide to fight back, even if they don't fight back, you're risking an injury. No shit.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to read the chat room at the same time.
Don't do
but
that.
Yeah, I mean, who are these kids to go, yeah, I'm going to rob you of your moped?
Now I'm feeling like stupid.
I don't know. Good for him, though, that he fought back.
Give us your moped!
Zell at the bottom of the page said I should change the show time at the bottom of the page. Yeah, I completely forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, we're going to do it. Hey, we were on break, man. We didn't feel like doing any of that stuff.
Yeah. All right, let's do a entertainment story. Roger Moore was quite possibly the most pathetic Bond. I don't know. Maybe there's some people out there that like him, but I remember seeing Roger Moore at Bonds and being like, what the hell is this guy doing?
He was the friendly Bond. He wasn't he wasn't very threatening, he didn't seem like, I'm going to kick your ass. Like Sean Connery, I wouldn't want coming after me, but no. Roger Moore, he was the friendly kind of...
That 70s Bond.
Yeah.
70s,
late
80s 70s, Bond.
Early 80s.
Yeah, he's the Bond that you didn't really care about. I mean, you had Timothy Dalton, who was, you know, inherently dark, and you had...
Well, kind of. He wasn't as threatening as, say, Daniel Craig.
Yeah, but he was better than Roger Moore.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
The only problem is he did the worst movies in the franchise when he came along.
That's true, too.
The Die Another Day is what I'm talking about. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
The Living Daylights. Movie audiences nowadays expect scenes of graphic violence in James Bond movies. Unlike when Roger Moore played the super spy with a tongue-in-cheek humor, the actor believes. I'm happy to have done it, but I'm sad that it's turned so violent, Moore said before Quantum of Solace, starring Daniel Craig as a darker Agent 007, opens in North America on Friday, today. That's keeping up with the times. It's what cinemagoers seem to want, and it's proved by the box office figures. Moore told Reuters in an interview about his memoir, My Word is My Bond.
Hey, he released it at just the right time, didn't he?
Yeah, really. Oh, it's so violent. By the way, My Word is My Bond. It's out. Read it.
Out in bookstores now.
Get it? Oh, my word is my bond. Oh, I was Bond. So, actually, the film... the new 007 film, Quantum of Solace, opened October 31st in London and actually broke the weekend box office record with a gross of $25
million. Nice.
And it's taken in more than $106 million worldwide. So, it's taken in $106 million and it hasn't even opened in the United States yet.
And,
so
I don't have anything against Roger Moore. He was doing the Bond films when I was a kid. So he was Bond when I was a kid.
Yeah, same here.
For Your Eyes Only. I think is probably the best one he did. Moonraker is probably the worst one he did.
don't even remind me.
Or Live and Let Die, maybe. That was pretty bad. But Moonraker, without a doubt.
I tie those two together, Moonraker and Live and Let Die.
Living,
had the best song.
What was the one in San Francisco with...
A View to a Kill.
Yeah, that was bad.
Christopher Walken.
That was pretty bad, too.
One of the best Christopher Walken lines, he goes, get him. Get him. I just always, when I see that, I love him. He does a Christopher Walken voice, because it's Christopher Walken, but the way he goes, get him, get him. I always laugh.
There's
at
no
it.
Enthusiasm.
They have Grace Jones as a Bond girl.
Oh, God, what was her? I'm trying to remember her name. I got to listen to one of the Hollywood Saloon Bond things again.
No, you don't.
What are you talking about? I'm going to pay $3 for it, Bill.
Moore, who's 81 now, recalled being appalled at the violence in A View to a Kill, the 1985 movie, which was the last of the seven in which he played Bond.
I love Octopussy, too. That was one I saw probably the most as a kid. Has the most ridiculous title, though, doesn't it?
Is that like eight pussies? Oh, never mind.
No, it's an octopus, not cats.
Yeah, exactly. In his book, Moore writes of his distaste for guns ever since he was shot in the leg by a friend with a BB gun as a teenager. Come on, Roger. I was shot with a BB gun by myself.
I kind of understand what he means, though, is...
I would have a disdain.
He has a
for
problem
it.
With idiot friends with BB guns, is what it is.
Exactly.
He has no problem with guns. It's the morons who wield them. Yeah. I think it's like, you know, they say guns don't kill people, bullets do. No, guns don't kill people, moronic people do.
Yeah. While making The Man with the Golden Gun, director Guy Hamilton
That's
wanted
a good
Bond
one.
To be tougher and had threatened to break Maude Adams' character's arm to get information, he writes. That sort of characterization didn't sit well with me, but Guy was keen to make my Bond a little more ruthless. Well,
whoa.
Bond is ruthless. It's Ian Fleming. Come on.
He knows he's playing a part, right?
It's yeah, not exactly. actually Roger it's Moore doing it. His character.
He just sounds like a crotchety, bitchy old man at this point.
It's like it's a movie.
He's just telling his thoughts. He's not. I think it's
get
okay.
this. I suggested my Bond would have charmed the information out of her by betting her first.
Nice.
Oh, yeah. Look at my penis. Give me the information.
I dicked the information out of her.
Yes, I dicked the information
I
out.
I thought he said he bet her.
He's such a cock.
Oh, bet her. I thought you had, like, made a wager with her. He bet her. I bet you $5, baby. Oh, okay. Whatever. He doesn't talk like that. He talks in an English accent. I got nothing. Move on, Bill.
That's pretty much it. He says his memoir's full of anecdotes about Hollywood and the stars he worked with, such as Vivian Leigh, Mae West, Lana Turner. He also tells of his bust-up with Grace Jones during a filming of View to a Kill when he forcibly pulled the plug on her stereo and flung a chair against the wall because she was playing loud rock music.
He dated her?
No, he had a fight with her on the set.
Oh,
I thought
okay.
he didn't like violence.
Yeah,
well, why didn't he just charm the music down with her?
he should have,
Jesus Christ.
He should have said, you're so manly looking. Here's
you know,
my penis.
Honestly, like for a long time, these are my favorite kind of books, the actors kind of telling their stories and stuff. So I don't know.
Paul Verhoeven has a terrific memoir that I read a couple years ago.
Cool. I would check that out. Definitely.
All right. This is really bizarre. A woman
now
addicted
to cosmetic
surgery in Australia is unrecognizable after injecting cooking oil into her face.
Nice.
Huh? It literally looks like a marionette, like a Jabba the Hutt marionette at this point.
Now, who is this again?
It's just this, it's a woman addicted to cosmetic surgery. She's a Korean woman.
Is it? It's not that cat lady, right?
No. Her name is Hang Moiku.
Hang Moiku.
Yeah. She had her first cosmetic surgery at 28 and was hooked before moving to Japan. Eventually, surgeons refused to carry out any more work, and she returned home when her face had changed so much her family didn't recognize her.
My God.
Her parents took her for treatment for her addiction, but it didn't last. Soon she found a doctor who would give her silicone injections and even gave her a syringe and silicone so she could self-inject.
Holy shit.
When her supply ran out, she used cooking oil. Her face became so large compared to her body that local children started calling her Standing Fan.
Let me show you. What is that? Ta-da!
Oh, those cruel
she
kids
like
with
one of those,
obscure
one of those,
insults.
She looked like one of those standing floor fans,
yeah,
you know,
like
that oscillates.
She must look like an oscillating fan.
Wow, that's inventive insults, aren't they?
those Korean kids are smart.
Standing fan.
You look like that fan.
That fan. After appearing on Korean TV, viewers sent donations so she could have surgery to reduce the size of her face. The first of several operations removed 60 grams of oil from her face and 200 grams from her neck.
What was her deal with oil?
I guess she thought it was the same as silicone, so she injected herself with it.
Well, look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Okay.
So she's not a smart person. Okay.
Yeah. You know, the guy that's the guy at NBC, Ben Silverman.
Right.
You know, just this week they canceled two big shows. I mean, they really were depending on him to really bring in the ratings and make a name for NBC.
Right.
Lipstick Jungle and My Own Worst Enemy, which they promoted the living shit out of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would think that the guys, the bosses, would kind of be unhappy with him. But it looks like he knows how to play politics because the producer on the shows the executive at NBC in charge of the shows, this Catherine Pope, was also in charge of Bionic Woman, which was also a
disaster.
Incredible failure, is being blamed. It looks like Silverman, even though all this stuff is going on, he's actually going to get a raise.
What?
Because the profits at NBC are actually up 50% from last season.
Wow.
It's unbelievable how this works. Like it's all about Hollywood and who knows how to play the game. You know,
seem to have an open door policy for assholes.
You who can transfer the blame?
Right. Who's going to be the fall guy?
The fall guy, yeah.
Speaking of, they have Fall Guy episodes on Hulu. I can watch them on my TV. I'm the happiest person in the world.
Do they really?
They have a shitload of Fall Guy episodes. I was scrolling down.
I was young. Even then, I knew that chicken that was so hot.
They have
Heather Thomas.
They have something I've never seen before. They have the 2-part pilot episode of the Fall Guy. That is awesome. We're going to start doing a sideshow where we just talk about old shows. It's so awesome.
I don't know how many people... I know I don't really have in-laws visit for the holiday since I'm not married. But in case any of you out there have in-laws and you're, you know, not sure what you should do whenever they come over, here's a couple things you might want to hide. You might want to put away the bar. You know, if you got a lot of alcohol in the house,
right,
you might want to hide it. You know, maybe thin out your wine rack. Or
is it because they will get drunk or they will judge you?
I think maybe they would think you're a little boozer. You know, a little much alcohol, too much.
Put your porn away. Stop hiding your porn in the guest bedroom.
That's the major thing here. You may have thought your parents didn't have a clue in high school, but they managed to find your bong, your diary, your Two Life Crew album. That's so freaking true. But the in-laws, you know, they're really nosy, and they'll go to the medicine cabinet, and they'll look under your nightstand and, you know, stuff like that. So you want to hide that stuff. Definitely stock the fridge with a lot of fresh, healthy foods.
Some V8. So
you could have had a V8. Put out a bunch of family photos so they think you're, you know, all about the family.
Put out a bunch of family photos.
If you don't have them out already,
wear the shirt,
out.
The ridiculous shirt they gave you the previous Christmas.
Yeah,
the one with
don't have pictures of like you're drinking in Cancun or something.
Right.
You definitely want to have fresh flowers so they think that you're sophisticated and enjoy the small things
your
in life.
Mom.
And show off any little fancy tchotchkes, you know, those annoying
tchotchkes.
Little, like, baskets from, there's a place here in Ohio about 5 miles from me that's all about baskets, Longaberger.
I like to get extreme fajitas at tchotchkes.
I thought you were thinking about maybe, like, tchotchkes, like where you go on vacation, you know, little trinkets.
Exactly, yeah.
That,
pizza shooters, extreme fajitas at tchotchkes.
I love those. Moving back to some entertainment stuff, one of my favorite shows is Pushing Daisies. It's just such a charming, fun show, but it's in trouble at ABC.
Yeah, I hear that.
It's coming up on its 13th episode this week, and its ratings are not good.
It's almost one of those, it's those kind of shows that's so well done, even though it gets shit rating, it's like you've got to keep it on the air just to balance out the shit that's on television. The fact that something like Knight Rider is still on the air, you can't cancel Pushing Daisies. I know it's a different network, but they can't cancel it, you know? I even think they're on at the same time, and it loses to Knight Rider. Oh, shit, man, I'm watching Knight Rider. He's got the Mustang with shit on it. It's all CGI and shit. That shit's badass.
And they haven't... the contracts are expiring. They haven't... extended any of the options on the major players.
Well, Brian Fuller, who runs the show, keep reading that he will go straight to Heroes.
Yeah, he's going to go back to Heroes if Pushing Daisies is canceled. He said at the Pally Center audience whenever they were talking about Pushing Daisies.
So a lot
said that he'd like to continue the storylines in a comic book for Pushing Daisies if the show's gone.
Right. And another thing, that would suck because the show needs to stay on the air. How hard is it? One thing I admire the hell out of the guy who did
Scrubs. Why don't they just put it on
Scrubs.
The channel with the monk?
Well, the guy who does Scrubs.
At David Lawrence.
Bill Lawrence, I think.
Bill Lawrence, sorry, yeah.
He was on NBC for a while. He has Scrubs on for a number of years. Finally, you know, NBC has never, I think last season was like 17 episodes. They always treat him like shit, even though they were on the air. They didn't feel appreciated or whatever. ABC was like, come over to our network. Scrubs is coming back on ABC now.
In fact, it looks like if they do cancel Pushing Daisies, they're just going to double up the Scrubs episodes to take its place, its time slot.
It seems like I wouldn't give up so fast. Like another thing I was talking about, Easy Money, that show liked on the CW. I read that CW's given up on it already, which is unfortunate because it's a really fresh, new kind of show. And
yeah, it is. And you know what? It's too good for the CW.
It confused me because all during Smallville on that little logo, it says Easy Money this Sunday, all new. And I was like, wait, I thought you canceled it. You're confusing the shit out of me. But you said they're probably burning off the episodes they did have, which
yeah,
would be cool, but now
if you paid for the shows, you got to show them.
But now you're like, why watch it? You don't want to invest anything in it.
By the way, those are on Hulu too. So if you haven't seen it, you want to watch a show that just ends and never has an ending. See, there's no motivation to watch it.
Right?
Nothing will ever happen. So, but anyway, see whoever does Easy Money, please pitch it to another network.
Showtime. HBO.
Yeah, it just sucks that sometimes you just have to move on, you know, and I know that happens. Like, for instance, Joss Whedon, since I know that Dollhouse hasn't come out yet, but I know it will be canceled because Fox has already decided to put it on Fridays, the same thing they did with Firefly, and never found an audience, was canceled.
They'll probably show the episodes out of order, too.
I've even heard they're not showing the pilot first. It's just it's a cluster F.
Oh, jeez.
But, you know, it's Joss Whedon's fault for going back to Fox. Am I right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. He's a glutton for punishment.
I believe Joss, I will never work for Fox again. Whedon was one thing that people called him, and he's working for Fox. So it's your fault, bud. But anyway, that's besides the point. I don't remember what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah, moving on. Speaking of Showtime, this is pretty crazy. It looks like Showtime and Stan Lee are teaming up to promote a gay superhero
show.
Yeah. Showtime, along with Stan Lee's POW Entertainment, will be producing a series about a gay superhero.
Is that Feedback?
Feedback. He's a gay superhero.
The series is based on the book Hero by Perry Moore.
Yeah, I believe it's not a property created by Stan Lee. I think Stan Lee might just have something to do with it.
Yeah.
Which hopefully that he has nothing to do with the production values. If you want to judge who wants to be a superhero,
well, that would be sci-fi.
Remember Stripperella?
But you know what? I trust Showtime now. They've really had some good shit come out, and hey, I would check it out. Gay superhero, why not? It could be funny. It's comedic. Californication. It's got such the humor. The humor can be so wrong on there, but it's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. I started watching that recently, and it's one of those shows that's so wrong but it's so right.
Justine Bateman was on it and plays David Duchovny's daughter. He ends up sleeping with her, and she even says that I hate to tell you this, I hope it doesn't turn you off, but I'm on my cycle right now. And he goes, hey, it doesn't bother me.
Oh,
so anyway,
man,
he sleeps with her, walks down the stairs naked, and her son's there at the table, and it's the guy who's dating his daughter. And he's like, and he looks, they show him looking at him naked, and his eyes pan down to David Duchovny's private area. And he goes, did you kill my mom? I thought it was hilarious because you realize what he's looking at. But at the same time, it's disgusting. Am I right?
That is hilarious.
It's just wrong, but it's funny and it's disgusting all at the same time. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of disgusting
disaster.
You know, you can't stop the Wayans brothers.
And the sequel.
When they get a hold of something, watch out.
We're going to destroy this property.
Yeah. And what property have they chosen to destroy? The Munsters.
No!
Yeah, they've been working on a script since 2004, and they're saying that the movie is nearly ready to roll.
Why? Why are they doing that? Are they going to be the Blacksters?
They said the characters are still who they were in the... Oh, get this. It's just like the Brady Bunch. The characters are still who they were in the 50s. It's just in modern day.
Oh, that's,
you know what's funny?
Clever.
Yeah.
He obviously doesn't know that the Munsters aired in the early 60s. They ran from 64 to 66.
Yes, that's a problem.
I mean, but, great. first motion picture of...
You know, I like the Munsters a lot, too, as a kid, so...
You know what? As long as they don't make the Munsters... This is not racist in any way. Mama. Don't interpret it as that. As long as they don't make the Munsters black...
I thought the same thing. I made a horrible joke. Are they going to be called the Blacksters? But it's not... It's like... I couldn't come up with a better title than that.
Yeah, it's just...
As long as they don't do another Little Man, maybe it's going to be okay. All right?
Maybe, oh, my God. Well, that's been on FX so
Little Man, and then what's the two where they were dressing up as white girls?
White chicks,
yeah.
So not only do they have poor concepts, they base the title of their movies on the bad concept. Like...
White Chicks.
We can play White Chicks. Hey, that's the name of the movie, White Chicks.
Hey, you can be a little man.
I think that if they are Black Munsters, the movie should be called Black Munsters.
The Black Munsters, yeah.
Yeah. Why not?
It's like whenever they did the Honeymooners movie with the...
The Black Honeymooners.
Yeah, they should have called them the Black Honeymooners.
Actually, the best balls in town.
Do you remember the one year, I think it was like 2003, they did that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on ABC.
Right, right.
And I think it had Robin Leach.
And I don't know why. There was one day where we were playing with Andy, Bad Company, and he would not stop doing a Robin Leach impression.
Oh, I was laughing so hard. I was crying. I could not concentrate. We're playing Battlefield Bad Company, and just out of nowhere, Andy starts going, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. But it had, you know, Bruce Jenner. It even had Stuttering John on it.
Wow.
It was just so funny.
Is that before his Tonight Show gig?
Yeah, that was way before the Tonight Show gig. And I remember who won it was J-Lo's ex-flame, that Chris Judd. He was a dancer or something.
Nice.
But anyways, I guess they continue to do this show in the UK, this I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
I know where you're going with this.
What, Steven?
I think I know where you're going with this. Go ahead.
Yeah. George Takei has joined the cast.
Oh, my.
Oh, my. Now, I hope they put this up on the torrent sites, because I am just... The guy cracks me up.
Now, is this
he's
the one
so
with
genuine, the... he's so honest, yet he's absolutely batshit insane.
It's the same one with Pete Burns, isn't it, from the Dead or Alive?
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know who the other celebrities are. I have no idea who they are. Their names don't even ring a bell. I think Martina Navratilova is also going to be on it. Well, they'll have two gays.
Well, Pete Burns is, but he's now dressing as a woman.
Oh, well, that's convenient.
And you,
wow!
Looks like this giant Amazon woman.
Nice.
I just want to mention this. Kanye West, he says he's the voice of his generation. So anybody out there that's 31 years old, around that age, Kanye West is your voice.
Oh.
Pure evil.
Is that Generation Y?
Generation Y, is Kanye West still around?
It's always nice. I thought I was I'm Generation X, the voice
Gen
of our generation.
X. Yeah, I'm Generation Y, so I guess
he's your voice, Bill.
What?
He's your voice.
Gary
no, he's
Busey.
Not my voice.
No, Gary Busey's the
Gary
voice
Busey's
of
my
generation.
Voice.
Why can't I have a voice like Gary Busey for my generation? Instead, I get a black guy that says George Bush doesn't like black people. All right, and let's wrap up the news. That's
now
the news
more than
week.
Ever. Really, it's just now. If not now,
no,
if
don't.
Not you, who? If not then, why? If not why, where? Not where, when? Take all those words that create a question and throw them out of your dictionary of daily life. Because you, my friend, already know the answer in your heart of hearts.
Yes, the voice of our generation, everyone. Am I right?
Wow.
Why not?
You're supposed to throw that question out.
All right, Bill, what else we got?
That's it. Let's get some DVDs going, because by the time this show ends, it's going to be the same time we end it every week.
Yeah, we're only doing this once. Next week, it's a two-hour show. We're condensing.
Exactly.
We're not doing this three... Next, hey, it's a three-hour show. $3, all right? Donate
$3. It's all for an hour, people.
All right, let's do some DVDs!
Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVDs! 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 HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! The DVDs!
Woohoo! Oh, hell yeah, DVDs.
We got the DVDs, everybody.
He was a man.
Huh? He was a man?
I wanted to mention one more show that I saw this week that was kind of interesting.
No, Steven,
that maybe you guys
no.
want.
It's almost a three-hour show, Steve.
I know, just real quick. Okay. It was on the Sci-Fi. It's a little game show they do for hunting money, but it's in a spooky haunted house.
Yo, is it called Chase? Is that
No. Something else. But if you get a chance, look at it.
Well, what's it called?
A State of Panic.
A State of Panic. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that and didn't know what the hell was going on.
It was pretty good. It wasn't really for what it was, you know. It's a game show that's over in one episode. It's none of this prolonged crap, you know.
Okay.
I'll have to check it out. Is it on in the middle of the night?
I'm sure they'll replay it at night, you know,
okay,
how
good,
they are.
Because then I'll watch it. Okie dokie, DVDs. This is a really shit week for DVDs, maybe two or three releases.
What's that?
What's that music? It's like a drum solo.
They're DVDs, Gordon. He's too busy with restaurants. He doesn't know what DVDs are.
A show that every time it's on TNT, I watch it just for the boobs.
Las Vegas.
No. Guess again. One more guess.
TNT.
Boobs. TNT morning. 10 a.m.
Oh,
Bikini.
Charmed.
Ah, yes.
The only problem with that is it's stretch-o-vision, so I can't watch it.
Yeah, well, you know what? I watch it on the TV in my bedroom while I'm drinking my coffee.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that really always pisses me off is that they stretch it on TNT. TNT worst HD channel ever.
Yeah.
Charmed, the complete series.
Deep
limited deluxe edition. You get every episode.
Wow.
So you get to stare at Rose McGowan nipping out in every episode she's in.
Well, once Shana Doherty ill-advisedly left, I'll just get another job. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
20
exactly.
years later.
Won't work again until 90210
you
Part 2.
You would have that mistake on 90210.
She's a really bad agent, I'm thinking.
Oh, wait, no. She did scare tactics for a season. That's right.
Oh, God, yeah.
And that couldn't have paid much. It was on Sci-Fi, so...
Because they were the only ones willing to work with a bitch. They thought it was a witch for the
She wasn't doing any shopping sprees. The paycheck.
Do not disturb the witch.
Yeah. Oh my God! Definitely don't.
All right. Next DVD: Foo Fighters live at Wembley Stadium on DVD and Blu-ray. I love the Foo Fighters. One of the best live bands ever. I've seen them one or two times live, and they are spot on. Almost like studio album. They're just classic rock and roll.
Right.
Nothing special. Good writing, good music, good band.
What kind of mix does it have on it?
It has a full Dolby Digital mix.
Nice.
Let's look here. And it has the uncompressed mix also.
See, that's what you want.
CM. So there you go.
Right there. That's what you want, baby.
Any good concert DVD's got to have the... the LPCM on it.
Oh, it's L.
Huh? Worst show on television that I watch every time it's on, just because it's a train wreck, Gene Simmons' Family Jewels, complete season 3. I mean, this show is god-awful, but I watch it anyways.
What? I still don't understand what's going on with that dude's hair.
I honestly think it's a helmet
Gene Simmons.
He wears.
Is he
bald?
It's got to be a wig.
It's got to be
a helmet. It looks like a helmet.
If it's not a wig, then it's a...
And I know he got a shitload of women in his Kiss days, but do you think he does anymore?
No.
Maybe. You know what? There's still probably yeah, there's probably still a bunch of women.
50-year-old groupies?
No, there's a lot. You know what? It's like that teenage phase that every girl goes through where they're obsessed with Jim Morrison.
Right.
You know, so no matter how old
Gene Simmons,
the band is.
Are you serious? Girls go through that phase?
You got to think he's got money.
Yeah.
He's got charm.
He's with Shannon Tweed, though, and they love each other, Steven.
Yeah, oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, but see, that's the thing. It's not the same kind of thing. He's got money or whatever, but he's also married and has kids. It's not like
he's not married. No, he's not married.
Oh, no, no. He's common law married, right?
They don't call. They don't. They
They've been together for years, and they live together, and they have kids.
In California, I don't think.
Yeah, they just say.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, what I'm saying is, some girl's not like, "Ooh, he's got money." They know they're not getting in there. You know, they're just gonna get to have sex with him. Is what I'm saying.
You know what? Honestly, so is there any appeal to that? Once those kids move out of that house, I think Shannon Tweed's gone.
Well, you know what?
probably
again, probably not far from the truth, and he could probably get a younger.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is why. Look at him.
Dude, I'm just going to tell you, Gene is a promoting whore. You know,
yeah,
he's
a total whore.
He's got money.
Right. And he also and Kodak. He, what was the thing with Kodak?
Yeah, it's a Kodak world.
It's a Kodak world.
He just living it.
I love that. I can't wait till Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, I
train
loved whenever they had the Kodak person on, and he was like, "I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
Well,
I'm right.
I'm sorry, but you're wrong. I mean, Gene Simmons.
You know, it's just he's Gene Simmons again.
And he's
know,
crazy. He's one of those crazy celebrity guys. Like Gary Busey in a way.
He really is. Yeah. Next DVD, Gonzo, The Life and Work of Dr. Hunter S. Thompson, Collector's Edition.
Oh, man, I thought this was going to be a friggin' Muppet thing. I was
I
excited.
I know, and Gonzo and the chickens. No, I'm actually, I'm really kind of interested in this documentary. I remember it was narrated by Johnny Depp.
I'm a huge fan of Gonzo, by the way, from the Muppets.
Yeah, so am I,
who
really.
Who isn't?
In fact, I just downloaded the... The Muppet Family Christmas, completely unedited, as it aired back in the 80s or 70s. Because the versions that are out on DVD are all edited out because they couldn't get music rights on it. So I can't wait to watch that. Anyways, sorry. I digress. So yeah, Gonzo, if you're a fan of Hunter S. Thompson's crazy ass ramblings,
I've never
check it
read
out.
Anything by him. I just know that he's crazy. That's, you know, just from what you hear.
He was certainly one of a kind. All right. Next DVD. This was actually
like an ass.
This was mentioned by one of I'm sorry, I can't remember which person it was in the forums, but when we were joking around that one episode about Takashi Mike.
Yeah, Takashi Mike. Yeah.
Takashi Mike, Takashi, or Takashi Miike, as it is. Yeah. One of our fans brought this up, is that he did a really incredibly bizarre movie called The Happiness of the Katakuris, which is a basically a family of complete and utter failure. And, father buys a guest house in the country, and all their guests end up dead by suicide, accident, or murder.
My God.
Yeah, exactly. It's a crazy movie. And once they make the decision to save their business by burying the bodies and concealing the deaths, they find themselves sucked into, like, this horror world. It's a really insane zombie movie, actually.
It's a zombie movie?
It is a zombie movie. It's got musical numbers, animated characters,
wow.
Zombies, gruesome deaths. It's a really insane black comedy. And it's Takashi Mike.
Takashi Mike's a genius. Takashi Mike! Or
with a name like that, how
Takashi
could he fail?
Miike. Oh, and another thing we were talking about, Bill, on Xbox Live, Dance of the Dead is in HD on Xbox Live, which is basically like super DVD, but still that looks good. And since I
am definitely going to check that out this weekend. I've been waiting to see it. I have that Ghost House Underground DVD collection on my Christmas list, and I've been waiting to watch it. So I'm excited. I definitely want to see it.
Nice.
All right.
You're evil.
Moving on. I guess they delayed this because we talked about it a few weeks ago. Heather's limited edition locker set, DVD and Blu-ray.
Nice. That has Christian Slater in it, I believe.
Yes. It comes with of course, it comes in a locker, but it's audio commentary.
Greetings and salutations.
Return to Westburg High, Swatch Dogs and Diet Cokeheads, original ending screenplay excerpt, numbered locker and 20-page hardcover, Heather's yearbook. And it comes with 14 magnets. So
it comes with a lot of shit.
Yeah, it does. And it's get this. We can't get a true HD track on Speed Racer, but we can on Heathers from the Blu-ray.
So it's lossless sound on a movie that's probably released mono?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
There's something really wrong about that.
Remember when Winona Ryder was like the it girl?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. God, is she hot.
What happened to that? She's still good looking. And I mean, hey, no, oh, I'm sorry. I don't mean to be a pig. She's still a great actress. So what happened?
If still like Winona Ryder, check out the Simon Baker flick Sex and Death 101 where she's topless at the end.
With The Mentalist, isn't that?
Yeah, with The Mentalist. Show I love. Hum-a-na-hum-a-na.
Okay. Is it a good movie, though?
No, it's horror.
Oh, I was going to say, I can't sit through a movie just for that part.
No, like, but there's a lot of boobs in it.
I'll wait till it's on Hulu, then I'm going to check it out. Okay. It'll probably be on the download page on Netflix, so I'll check it out then.
You know what? I think it's on Xbox Live. It's probably one of the top-rated ones because there's boobs in it.
Just for Winona Ryder? Is that probably why they're doing it?
Yeah. No, there's a lot of hot chicks.
You know what's funny? Because you know a lot of teenage boys are on Xbox Live. If you look at the most downloaded movies, it's always the shittiest movie that you know has nudity in it.
Every time I check the most downloaded, Caged Heat 2 is on there.
Yeah, some 16-year-old was like, oh, I can see nude women. Oh, something's happening in my body.
Who the hell is paying 400 points for Caged Heat 2?
What's that woman?
A kid who really needs to masturbate
blonde,
to something.
What's that blonde? It's
Bridget,
in that one.
Bridget Nielsen?
No.
Basically, it's a kid who's sick of jerking it to Dancing with the Stars. He wants some real nudity going on, and so he gets Caged
Heat
on Xbox.
Or the Sears catalog.
Sybil Danning.
Sears catalog. See, that's the thing is now we have the internet, so hopefully...
I know. Isn't that ridiculous? When I was a little kid... I would look at the Sears catalog like, oh my god, I think I can see nipple. And
see, all we had was the best catalog in my house. So otherwise, it's like there's no
underwear section.
But there is a cool toy section.
And then, whenever I reached my teen years, and my sister started getting Victoria's Secret, holy shit, the world opened up to me.
Huh?
Tom Cruise knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he does. Oh, dear.
All right. Something really cool that I think I might have to put on my Christmas list, even though nobody will get me. Night Gallery, the complete second season.
Oh, Night Gallery. Blah, 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 blah.
What?
Night Gallery was just cool.
That was early Rod Serling before Twilight Zone?
No, that was after.
Oh, okay. It was after.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's the same kind of thing, right? Little vignettes of spooky stories.
Yeah. Next DVD is Paris Je T'aime. Which is it's got all kinds of little vignettes directed by a bunch of different people. Like,
we just both said vignette in the matter of minutes. Huh? The password is vignette. No, I said vignette, and then you said vignette.
Oh, really?
So we win a prize. Move on, Bill. Moving on. Sorry, I didn't mean to stop everything down.
That's all right. Is there anything else?
Nope, that's it.
Oh, okay. Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, Dos.
Which is a series of vignettes with each cast member.
Yes, exactly.
Different pairs of pants.
Vignettes.
Same pair of pants.
You know what? No one knew who Blake Lively was in the first one, but they all do now because of Gossip.
Well, you know what? I noticed her in Undeclared. Was that what it was called?
No, it was Accepted.
Accepted, sorry. With Undeclared was the Judd Apatow show.
Yeah. No,
That Accepted was such a terrible movie.
But she's very cute in that.
Oh, she is. She's very cute. Okay, the DVD of the week.
Your shit's
already. That was my pathetic
drum roll. Wait, here you go.
No, that's cicadas. What is it? Castanets.
A cicada drum roll.
You know what I mean? Like...
Tropic Thunder, unrated director's cut on DVD and Blu-ray.
I'm a lad from a mother. Boop. Yeah, I want it on Blu-ray, that's for sure. No, yeah, I want to download it on Blu-ray. I'm not going to purchase it.
But you know what? It has some competition for DVD of the week.
Uh-oh, what?
Wall-E.
See, that I have to buy. Any kind of kids movie, got to buy. I got to say this about WALL-E. My daughter will riveted
watch it over
in the,
and over.
Well, she was we've gone taken her to see movies, and she's up and down the aisle. She wants to go potty. She wants to get some more candy. She sat still, transfixed to the screen during the entire movie.
She didn't move. She moved twice.
She wanted to sit.
She sat in my lap.
She traded laps, like, but she never. And she was going, "Why? Why is this? What's he doing?" And stuff. She was completely involved. That's what kind of movie it is compared to something like the B movie, where she was like up and down the aisle. She wanted to. Yeah. She was running around.
Why the hell am I watching a movie with Jerry Seinfeld?
He's a bee, and
he's
he likes
a bee,
honey.
And it's a movie about bees.
But anyway, WALL-E. I want to see it. I have yet to see a Pixar movie on Blu-ray. I can't wait. Can't wait.
Ratatouille on Blu-ray? Stupendous.
By the way, I watched a silly movie, Tinkerbell, on Blu-ray with my daughter. Hey, that's...
It wasn't that bad.
I'm a loving father, and I rented from Netflix Tinkerbell on Blu-ray, and it looked gorgeous.
Yeah, I bought it for my niece, Jordan, whenever she comes to visit, because that's who she's obsessed with now. It used to be Ariel, it was Sleeping Beauty, it was Snow White, now it's Tinkerbell. She loves Tink.
What Disney's done, they've done a smart thing, because they have all these computer-animated Barbie movies. They're like, hey, we could get on that action. Let's turn Tinkerbell into a Barbie-type character.
And those Mariposa Barbie movies, which I've seen every one of because of my four-year-old niece,
are
horrendous.
Yeah.
They are terrible.
So basically what Disney did is they jumped on that bandwagon, but they made better quality. It's got incredible animation for a straight-to-video type of market.
It really does, and it's entertaining. My, you know, it takes a lot for my niece Jordan to sit still. She is just a ball of energy, and she was riveted by it.
Right. Definitely cool. I mean, I think we're losing our demographic audience.
Sorry, everybody. And the last DVD I have to mention, just because of the title, it's probably absolutely terrible, but it's got that special title, The Zombie Diaries.
Oh, is that like the Basketball Diaries? Like a drug-addicted zombie?
I wish, but...
The Jim Carroll zombie story?
A site I trust that I read every day, twitchfilm.net.
Never heard of it.
Somebody reviewed it and said it's the most realistic zombie film ever made.
Whoa.
So just because of that, I need to check it out.
And it's called what again?
The Zombie Diaries.
Wow.
A zombie site, eatmybrains.com, says it's dark, uncompromising, and frighteningly real.
So, okay, basically it's Zombie Diaries, so I'm guessing it's kind of like journal entries of a zombie invasion kind of thing?
It says, set in England during a worldwide viral infection, a documentary-style fright fest records the rise of the undead from the video cams of several survival groups.
That sounds
As each struggles
already.
Against the flesh-eating hordes, an even more horrifying fate lurks among them. So, that sounds pretty cool.
That does sound really cool.
A documentary-style zombie movie?
There's nothing worse. Like, one of the most scary zombie movies I still think that exists is The First Night of the Living Dead, because it's so real, and it's black and white.
Yeah.
It's just something.
I love that one.
It's so... It still creeps me out, man. I can still watch that.
Creepy.
I can watch that movie now as an adult, and then me driving down the street, see someone walking down the street, and it creeps me out. Oh shit, that's a zombie, you know.
And it's one of those movies that is just so it gets under your skin.
It really does. And the horrible, like, what would you call it? The music is like they went to a library and got the stock music.
Of that era.
I can't think of the term they call it, the archive music. You know, it's just the music. It's the way it starts with that. And then they're showing the cemetery, and then they're coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah, you know, it's.
Stop
it's
it. You're the, ignorant.
It's one of those movies, you know, Night of the Living Dead. I think the thing that gets me the most about that movie is the whole family storyline with the, like, Harry, Helen, and their daughter, you know,
right.
Karen. It's one of those things. It's like, it's so irrational, and it's so well done. It's such a classic.
The black guy's the only one who has his wits about him.
Yeah.
He's the only intelligent person in the movie.
Yeah, and it's like we were talking the other day, it's so funny, on Left 4 Dead about how it's such a cliche now for, like, the black guy to die. And that was, like, one of the only movies that, you know, he basically survives the entire movie.
He survives until the next day when the rednecks...
The rednecks
inherit the Earth. Remember, that's the great thing. That movie has a fantastic kind of social... Romero always does the endings where it also is...
Social commentary.
Yeah. And unfortunately, I would say he's lost his touch a little bit. I'm sorry, George, but...
Yeah, I think he's gotten old. You know, it's... I think that's when it really matters.
He's like, I'm tired. I'm just going to hit you over the head with this mess. Boom.
The civil rights movement, racism in the South, it just... That was a special time.
The thing, the Night of the Living Dead and then Dawn of the Dead, it was something new and it was so creative.
The 70s consumerism.
The budgets they had and everything, the way they were so creative with it. And then, you know, unfortunately, we know he had a problem raising money and stuff on movies when he did like Land of the Dead. But I just think that it was not as good as his other stuff. I mean, what do you do? That was a long time ago and then a lot older. Then you try it again. It's hard to live up to expectations.
It is. And you know what? It gets to the point where a lot of people consider him the godfather of zombie films, even though I would argue that that was Lucio Fulci. But
with a shark eating zombie? Or
Yeah.
Zombie. Appreciate the zombie killing.
Have you ever seen that footage? I haven't seen the movie, but just on YouTube of the shark and the zombie.
Yeah.
You have to show me.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to look after the show. Anyways, we're going off on a tangent.
Yeah.
Night. So and that's DVDs for this week. So Zombie Diaries, cool.
That sounds kick ass.
Yeah, I'm throwing Zombie Diaries in my shopping cart on Amazon.
My daughter and I are gonna watch WALL-E and then Zombie Diaries.
and then you're gonna watch Tropic Thunder, right?
Yeah.
So she can see a nice triple feature.
Ben Stiller throws the little guy off the bridge.
I love that scene right there. That's vintage Ben Stiller show type of humor there.
Yeah, it is.
And I love when the CGI blood is he's stabbing him. You know, the little kid is like, yeah, and you see the CGI blood kind of coming up. I love that. All right. Well, thanks, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
this is the way we diaper our kid, diaper our kid, diaper our kid. This is the way we diaper our kid, and this is how we drop it.
Wow. Did not just use an ALF clip.
I was watching ALF on Hulu, man.
That's dangerous. That's not a good thing.
I'm sorry.
Hey, Willie!
You know what I did? Just experimenting. I watched some Facts of Life. I watched that as a kid. That's the shittiest.
It's god awful.
People are just talking and stuff's going on. I can't follow any of it. I don't even think I did as a kid. I just watched it because it was on.
There were a bunch of girls.
I guess. Yeah. And Joe, the lesbian one, she's the hottest girl on there. That girl Blair isn't hot. Ugh.
Blair was a skank. Ugh.
Ugh, nasty. Yeah, but anyway, hey, everybody, we're back.
Take the good, take the bad. You have them both.
And you pick the least fuggliest one. And that's
Tootie.
Just remember, guys, every week now we're going to try to show 9, 8 Central on Fridays at nimchat.com. So if you're listening to this via podcast... just remember, you could listen to us live and hang out in the chat room. So do that.
Is it via or via?
You know, either. I change from time to time, week to week.
Data.
Next week it'll be via. So, you know, I always notice as...
If you're going to download this data or
I think
data...
I first learned that word when I was a kid watching Batman, because it said via Batcave, the poles.
Yeah.
It had a sign, even though they're the only ones who use the bat poles. I never understood that. But anyway, thank you for returning and listening to us, and we were happy to do the show. We had a lot to talk about. Yep. This is a 3-hour show, people.
It's comfortable, man. It's like an old friend again.
Yeah, Jason was like, he was texting me yesterday about this. I was like, I don't know. Is the first bit of the show going to be kind of awkward, us trying to get into our rhythm again? And it really wasn't too hard.
And I said, better not. I demand perfection.
No, we have this down to an art.
Well, you know, sometimes we've been apart for, you know, a bit. And
I was acting kind of cranky earlier in the week, and Heather said, you know why you're acting like this? Because you haven't done your show. You haven't done your show in 2 weeks. You need to do it again. And it's like, it is kind of like a nice kind
outlet.
Of vent. You're venting. It's release. It's nice.
You may feel exhausted after it, but it gets everything off our chest.
Honestly, my brain is mush after the show. If anyone asks me a question after the show, I'm just like,
Just wait until you have to listen back and edit it. Then you'll really love it.
No, I never feel bad after that.
Now I'm feeling like stupid.
Yeah, me too. But, hey, if you'd like to go to nowheremulberry.com, you could find links to Mulberry Old School. And you can find a link to the forum, which is located with our buddies at the Hollywood Saloon. And go ahead and join the forum and leave comments there, because, Bill, we love reading feedback to the show on there.
We totally do. And sometimes, if you're lucky, we might actually reply.
Yes, I try to be good about that. So I realize sometimes I'm just reading it and then going, oh, that's cool, and then not saying anything. I need to be involved more there.
Yeah, I've been taking notice from you that I'm trying to reply.
Yeah, because a lot of times somebody writes something, they're like, oh, they never even read this, assholes, or something like that. Yeah. No, we always read it, trust me.
I read everything in there.
I check it every day, religiously, even though nobody posts anything different. I check it every day, at least.
I do,
like,
too. I check it. I check our forum like 10 times a day. I'm serious.
Yeah, it's ridiculously addictive. I just have to do it.
And there's certain posts where I'm like, no, not going to get sucked in. My inner family's not going to get sucked into this debate. I'm just going to ignore it. I have to do that a lot.
It's funny. Even whenever I'm like, I'm actually somewhere doing something, it's really bad that I have the iPhone, because then I'm immediately on there, www.nimlive.com. And I'm like, I'm reading it on my iPhone. Like,
nice.
It's ridiculous.
Well, also, you could leave us an email at nimpodcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to donate to the show. You're supporting our bad habits, and we appreciate that.
Please, it's been a very rough month for all of us.
Yes.
We need cash.
It's a little absurd, I guess.
Open your hearts, your wallets.
We need video games.
We might actually have muscular dystrophy.
Oh, stinks.
Yeah, exactly. And how are we not going to play Left 4 Dead and work on other stuff is what I want to know.
You know what? I don't think we'll have a problem with that.
No, but seriously, say we did something like a commentary business on the side. We keep doing Nowhere in Mulberry, but you have a weekly new commentary to listen to, but we charge like $3, kind of like our part-time job, if you will, to help pay for things in my life, Bill's life, Steven's life, whatever. We're not addicted to drugs. We don't drink. So, it's all for good things. Would you feel bad about doing that? I hope not. And I hope you support us in all of our future endeavors. Am I right,
also,
guys?
Also, don't worry. We're not going to give Steven any money if he doesn't participate. So you don't have to worry about him getting any money if
Steven
doesn't deserve.
Yeah, Steven does so well. No, but serious, Steven, when you buy a house,
right,
quit your job and you're in town all the time.
Yeah.
Bill and I were just talking about how can you have a life when you have to leave town every week, am I right? How burnt out are you right now?
Very, very.
Right.
I'm the week of Thanksgiving, I've taken off as vacation.
Nice.
I still have 2 weeks left to take, which is Christmas time.
Take 3 weeks at once. No, they won't let you do that.
I've already taken a week off this year, and I have essentially like just over 3 weeks of vacation.
I remember one time at my old job, Vernon, I had 3 weeks of vacation, tried to take them all at once. He's like, I can't let you do that. It's like, come on, I went 3 weeks in a row. Would not let me do it.
You know how mushy you would get? I don't want to even go back.
It's kind of like Christmas break. By this last week of Christmas break, he's like, I don't want to go back to school ever.
You have to do like, you have to offset it, like 1 week off, 1 week work, 1 week off, 1 week work.
I think he might have even said that, but I was like, no, I want three in a row.
You can get two in a row.
Understand,
you get two
man.
In a row, come back for a week. And
I
want to
pretend like I have no responsibility for 3 weeks. That's the way it works out. You just want to go back to the simpler days when you ate Dolly Madison cupcakes.
Well, this week I had a nice 4-day weekend.
ColecoVision. Right. So, everybody,
that's
thanks for joining us.
Perfect day.
Yes,
Dolly
it is.
Madison and ColecoVision.
What is that?
We got to go one more minute, and then we'll have a three-hour show.
Yeah,
so
exactly. That's what I'm trying to do.
We made it this far. We got to go one more minute.
All right. No, just switched over to 11 o'clock in Mulberry time in the chat room. So.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's L.
Do you know what that is right there, Bill?
Oh, it's L.
That's Paris Hilton saying.
That's Paris Hilton.
She's saying something is ill. That was ill. I thought it was just so stupid.
You know what? I've seen that Paris Hilton BFF show on MTV. I literally can't stomach it for more than 30 seconds. I have to change the channel.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like my brain is being sucked out.
Well, because
my
you realize, you know, we can easily say, what do people see appeal in Paris Hilton or whatever? But there are people that do idolize her. How sad is that? Seriously.
I honestly think that we should.
Oh my God! I wish I was Paris.
Every child between the age of I think 17 and 12 at this point, and just gas them.
Yeah.
Start over. Let's start over.
It's like we. Actually, I think the Amish have it right. No TV. You know,
they totally have it right. I mean, they still get boozed up. They still get drunk.
Yeah, Rumspringa. I love that word, Rumspringa.
Rumspringa.
There's this documentary they showed. I don't know if it was HBO or Showtime one time. It was about Rumspringa and the Amish. It was the most awesome documentary ever. It's all these teenage Amish people, and they have this time where they can go out and just
live
party, get drunk, get laid. Smoke pot.
I think it literally means running around or jumping Rumspringa.
And then what happens is you soil your wild oats and then you come back. And the people who don't come back, they're shunned for the rest of their lives.
Yeah. It's the Amish rite of passage.
And I don't think there's a time limit on your rite of passage either. You can come back. You just got to come back. That's the main thing. So anyway,
I thought it was a year. I thought they had a year.
I guess I'm making it even better than probably it really is. Like, you can do it 10 years, Steven. Then you just come back. But anyway, I don't know. I need to watch the documentary better.
They robbed the general store.
But the funniest thing I remember vividly is a bunch of passed out girls, teenage girls in those outfits with the bonnets, beer everywhere, passed out, drunk off their asses. Like, whoa.
You
know, what that documentary's called?
What?
It just popped into my mind. Devil's Playground.
I got to check that out again. Everyone,
yeah,
recommended.
That was great.
All right, everybody. That's the show. See you next week. Right, guys?
Yep.
Bye.
See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so sorry, but we're stopping service.
Best balls in town. It's awesome.
Now this is podcasting.
Now I'm feeling like stupid.